Hello and welcome to the Weekly Stuff Podcast with Jonathan Lack
and Sean Chapman.
We are here to talk about stuff, and this week specifically, we have a shit ton of stuff to talk about because it is E3.
Yes, it is the third E. All three of the E's, they're here.
It's like the 15th, 3rd E, but yes.
Yeah.
All right. So all three E's are here, and that means we have big press conferences to talk about.
Yes, we do.
From Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo,
You did it in the wrong order. It's Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, Sony, Nintendo. Jonathan,
yes, okay.
Chronological order, please.
And that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to go through those press conferences in chronological order, talk about what went down on those, and anything from the periphery, anything that was announced outside of those that's important to what we're talking about, we'll do that. We've been covering E3 on this show for a couple years now, so you probably know the drill by now.
Yeah.
It's a two-laptop podcast.
Yes,
I've got my laptop. And so we've got lots of information.
Yes.
Yes. So, Sean, I guess where I would want to start, though, is that, you know, we're 2 days in. The conference is just getting underway in terms of the show floor and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the conferences have all come by. That's the big news every year.
Yeah.
Is those things. How do you think E3 is shaping up so far?
I think it's been a decent E3. Like, it's better than... Like, I was really worried going into it that it's like, there would just be nothing, you know, with all the games that got delayed and stuff. There was a part of me that was like, I don't know, like 2014 was looking really barren, and at least there's one shining golden star that we'll get to that I didn't realize was coming out in 2014, that is. And I think overall, I think a lot of the press conferences were good. They showed good stuff. There were some surprises, not as many as I would like. Like, I still don't think there's, like, a big new AAA IP from either Microsoft or Sony that has really caught my interest, you know? That I'm still kind of waiting for what would basically be, like, the Gears of War of this generation, where Gears of War was the last generation's sort of first really big new AAA IP that was like, this is brand new, this is something that's taking full advantage of the power of this console, has new innovative ideas in terms of gameplay mechanics.
So you're saying it's not Watch Dogs?
Yes, I'm saying I want not Watch Dogs, precisely. You know, I would like... Like, and we will get to this with Ubisoft, but I think people are, and myself included, are getting kind of cautious of Ubisoft's bullshit with their E3 press conferences.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, the word I've been using to describe E3 on Twitter, I was kind of live tweeting my responses to things yesterday. It's solid. I felt like everyone was solid. I feel especially
EA
from... EA was not solid.
EA had a pretty pathetic...
Yes.
If you watch their press conference.
But from the big three, the first party people who were coming
True.
Out,
yeah.
Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, I thought Microsoft and Sony in particular, those were two solid shows. I thought Microsoft, there's some flaws in their show to me. We'll talk about that. It was better than I was expecting on the whole. More interesting in some ways. I thought Sony's was really good, really solid. You know, I think both companies have a lot of good games coming out, and the support seems good, and, you know, that's... Baseline, that's what you want out of this, at least I feel. It feels like... And from Nintendo, too. Nintendo had a stronger showing than I would have expected in terms of getting new games out there. You know, no big new IPs or anything, but, you know, if you expected that from Nintendo, you were certifiably insane. So, that's what they need to do, but they're not going to do it, so whatever, you know. But in any case, it's solid. I think everyone's solid across the board, and I think, you know, the good thing out of E3 so far is that wherever you are choosing to game, you have lots of good stuff coming your way.
Unless you're playing video games on, like, the Nokia N-Gage.
In which case, you are one hell of a hipster, man.
Yeah, like, you...
That's dedication.
Now, that's kind of impressive
in
some ways that you'd be doing that.
What games did you had? I know they put Sonic on there. Sonic 1 on
the
N-Gage.
Was, yeah,
but was there anything else?
There was... The N-Gage game. I don't know. Like, I really... I think there were, like, 10 games that
How
came
many
out
of our listeners
N-Gage?
Even remember the N-Gage?
None.
Okay.
Exactly zero.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's go ahead and talk about some stuff. You want to get right into it, Sean?
Sure. Unless you want... Holy shit, there was a Call of Duty game came out on the N-Gage.
Really?
Like, Call of Duty, some Call of Duty 1 port developed by Nokia. So, in-house...
Okay, well, if any of our listeners, you know, played the N-Gage or are still playing it and have any experience with that, please write to us.
Yeah, exactly.
I would like to hear about this. Yeah. Leave a comment.
I'm looking at, this is the last thing we'll say about the N-Gage. There were 58 N-Gage games, and that's a lot more than I thought there were.
Okay. Well, interesting.
Let's move on.
This, however, was not the E3 where the N-Gage made its triumphant
return. Nokia didn't have some sort of surprise. They didn't crash like EA's press conference. They're like, we're back, bitches! N-Gage 2!
Okay.
This time we're spelling it correctly with an E.
Sounds good. All right, let's do the Microsoft press conference. This was the big kickoff yesterday morning, Monday morning. Sean, did you watch this press conference?
Yes, I watched all the press conferences.
Okay.
Other than I did not have a chance to watch the Nintendo Direct because that was this morning.
Okay. Yeah, I did not watch all of the Microsoft one, but I followed all of it on live blogs and I've caught up on what was important. So I pretty much saw all of it. So let's talk about it. They kicked things off with Call of Duty.
Yes, Advanced Warfare. Not Advanced Warfighter. That was a Ghost Recon game. I've made that mistake many times.
This is one of the only videos here I just did not watch because I read the description of the Advanced Warfare thing. I was like, that sounds like every Call of Duty video I have ever seen.
Sure, but it's a lot more impressive. Like, you should watch it. You know, who knows? Like it looks way better than the initial reveal trailer made it seem like. There are, like, a handful of new, like, powers and stuff. You have little jump jets. You have these cool grenades that, like, you can cycle what the grenades do. So it's like, you pull out a grenade and, like, hit X, and he, like, presses a button on the grenade, and then this little holographic display is like, oh, this is now a homing grenade. Now this is, like, a grenade that paints targets on your screen so you can see people through walls, or this is presumably some sort of, like, sticky grenade or fragmentation grenade or whatever the fuck else they wanted to be. There was a part where a dude picked up a gun and just straight up shot, like, a solid red laser at people, and that was pretty cool. Like, it was surprising to me with the Advanced Warfare. They're pushing the sci-fi element of it a lot more than I thought they would. You know, it's not, like, I was expecting it to be more like something like the Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter games, which were, like, near-future technology that is basically actually, like, the war technology we have now, more or less. But this was, like, there was a part where this big swarm of, like, drone robots was flying through the air like something out of a fucking, like, Avengers movie or something. It was really crazy and actually kind of cool. Like, I'm not going to, like, pre-order the thing or anything, but I'm way more interested in it than I would have been otherwise. And the game looked, like, graphically really, really good. Like, it's apparent now that it's not the same Call of Duty engine that it was before. Like, it's clear now that this is actually a next-gen Call of Duty game and not just a port like Ghosts was.
Well, and that's what I've been asking for, because part of the reason I never played Ghosts, other than it got, you know, abysmal reviews, was that you just looked at it, it's like, that looks like every Call of Duty game I've ever played, and it just looks dull and drab and gray and brown.
Like, don't get me wrong, it still looks like Call of Duty. Like, it is definitely, it is a Call of Duty game, and in terms of, like, the gameplay stuff, you know, it is an E3 demo, but it was all very, like, linear, like, effective. Like, they were actually in an open space, but it was clear the player could not, like, you know, it wasn't like a Halo type of combat or anything. But they definitely, judging by that demo, they have made significant changes to the way the game plays just by, like, giving you little doodads and gadgets and shit that you, stuff you could not have done in Call of Duty 4.
Well, that's interesting. If it comes out and gets 10 out of 10s across the board, maybe I'll play it.
Also, you should note, this is just something weird about having, like the Microsoft press conference, is it started in, like, a super dark place where the end of, there's a weird theme, there's a lot of dismemberment in the press conferences, where the very end of the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, I keep on thinking I'm saying the name wrong. It's like fucking Dark Knight Rises all over again.
Yeah.
But it's at the end of the trailer, the guy who's, you're playing from the first-person perspective, he's, like, gets hit by this piece of shrapnel, and at first you're like, they're doing this thing where your character in Call of Duty dies so much now that he just dies in the fucking trailer for the game. But instead, what happens is the guy, he's getting pulled, and then you see that he's still alive, but his arm got chopped off. So, presumably he's going to have a robot arm. That would be my guess. It's actually a prequel to Bionic Commando.
But, or every level, you have to use some kind of one-armed weapon. You can only use pistols.
Exactly. Yeah. It's weird that they put all these rifles and, like, this brand new laser gun for what is just a prologue mission where from then on you can only use pistols. But
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Very challenging Call of Duty game. But anyway, so that's, so a lot of dismemberment. One thing I would ask really quickly is, Microsoft kicked things off. Microsoft and Sony both kicked off with a big third-party demo.
With a big Activision game.
Yes.
That's important to note.
So we had Call of Duty, and we had, for Sony, we had Destiny. What do you think about that? Just kind of that split division there.
You can't say Division now. It's
true.
Tom Clancy's The Division.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's, you know, I don't know. That's kind of, at least in, like, recent E3s, that's kind of how it's been, that you start with some big, like, last year, I remember, I think it was Xbox or Microsoft's conference started with the first showing of Metal Gear Solid 5 and stuff. Yeah, like, I think, personally, obviously, I'm way more interested in Destiny as a game, and also having, like, seen, just, like, recently X-Men Days of Future Past, it's like having Peter Dinklage, it's like, hey, that's the dude That's the guy that everybody loves from Game of Thrones, but I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I only know him from X-Men Days of Future Past. Yeah, like, that's... I mean, I think they were both really good trailers, and it's cool that sci-fi is coming in now. Like, sci-fi seems to be a big thing in video games, so...
I just thought...
Thank God it's not just, like, both of those those conferences started with Advanced Warfare looking like a just normal Call of Duty game, and then, like, I don't know, like, Battlefield Hardline opening up Sony's. Like, that would be really disappointing to me. It's like, at least it seems like we're moving into a different genre being popular, and luckily it's a genre that I like a lot more than modern military stuff, so...
And that's just what interests me about this split, is that you have two games from Activision opening the two different conferences. They're both sci-fi oriented, you know. It's just, it's the trend is interesting.
Yeah. But they're both still first-person shooters, so that
right.
That domain goes unhindered.
Yeah, and I feel like there is just more excitement around some of the Destiny stuff right now, because it's not the 9th, 10th, 11th game in a franchise.
There's way more mystery around Destiny about, like, what playing that game will actually be like, because we still, you know, I feel there's a lot about the game we still don't know.
And who knows what Destiny will be, but man, Bungie can put a trailer together.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later. So, Microsoft went on. They talked about Forza 5.
Yeah, you know, that was a really weird part where it's like a guy comes out, and I knew they were going to talk about Forza Horizon 2, because that was a game that got announced like a day before the press conferences happened. And so the guy comes out, and then he talks for like 5 minutes about Forza 5 and not Forza Horizon 2, and he announces that Nürburgring, which is a, like, apparently a really famous racetrack. I'm not into racing. But this racetrack, who he said is like, this is like the most famous, well-known racetrack in the entire world, and now it's going to be in Forza Motorsport 5, and we're releasing it today for free. It's like, that part was like, and there's a lot of that, like, we are releasing this thing today for free. Or not necessarily for free, but we're releasing this thing today. But it was like, if this is the most famous racetrack in the entire fucking world, why was it not in for, like, hey, cool, free racetrack DLC. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It was like, why does this have so much significance in your press conference that it's like, I swear they devoted as much time to talking about that as they did about the, like, success of Forza Horizon 2 trailer that they showed.
Yeah.
It's also like, why did this, like, one, why was it not in the game in the first place? And two, why does anyone give a fuck?
Apparently that was a problem with Forza 5, is it was very feature-light and content-light, and it needed more tracks.
From what I understand, there were a lot of problems with Forza 5. In particular, like, everyone that I know who plays racing games says they really don't like the Drivatar thing. Because for the exact same reasons I assumed nobody would like the Drivatar thing, because it's a lot more fun to race against AI racers than it is against human racers. Because in a human race, it's like, everyone, like, goes really fast, and then very quickly one person takes the lead, and nobody can overtake them, and it's not, like, dynamic or interesting that way, and so having everyone play that way with the AI seems like that would suck. And the Drivatars are being carried in the Forza Horizon 2, so that seems unfortunate for most people, but...
Alright. Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yes, Assassin's Creed Unity, a thing that was also then later showed up at Ubisoft's press conference, obviously. It was kind of interesting that this popped up at Microsoft's, because I feel like Assassin's Creed is usually a Sony thing. Like, last year, Assassin's Creed 4 showed at Sony's press conference, and that was also where Assassin's Creed 4 froze on stage.
It threw me for a little bit of a loop, because they had a couple of big, you know, third-party things here. They had Call of Duty, they had Assassin's Creed Unity, they had the Tomb Raider reveal later on, things like that. Sure. I was kind of wondering what big things are going to be left for Sony when we get to there, beyond Destiny, because we knew Destiny was going to be there. And it was interesting to me what kind of things came out at the Sony conference that surprised me, of things I hadn't thought of before. But yeah, I like this Assassin's Creed Unity demo. You and I were talking about this before the podcast. I'm really interested in Unity now after seeing all we did this week. I think the idea of four-player co-op, I have no idea how that works in Assassin's Creed. It does not seem intuitive to me, but maybe it doesn't have to right now. Maybe they've revamped kind of how Assassin's Creed plays a little bit, and it makes more sense. And I'm excited to see if they've changed things up. I also just think seeing the demo and then seeing the big preview they had at Ubisoft, which both of them just gorgeous, gorgeous next-gen graphics and stuff. I'm excited. I like the setting they've picked with the French Revolution. Unity looks like a cool game to me. So
sure, yeah. Like, for me, I'm a lot more skeptical of it than you are. Where did you watch the part that was demoed in the Ubisoft press conference also?
I might have missed that.
Okay, yeah, because that was more gameplay stuff where it was actually... And they showed a lot of single-player stuff. So it's obviously, like, this is not going to be only, like, you can only play this game with, like, your friends. Like, it's a co-op game, like the Fable Legends game they talk about later is. It's clearly you can play it single-player, but it's, like, they never explain how the co-op works. Like, they never explained if, you know, oh, it's drop-in, drop-out, like, you can just everyone free-roam the world, or, like, if it's, you, like, join a mission, and you join someone's mission, and you help them out on their mission. But yeah, with Assassin's Creed, you know, we talked about that franchise so much on this podcast, and for me, it's like Assassin's Creed 4 was a huge breath of fresh air for that franchise, largely because of the ship combat, which broke up so much of the monotony that those games get into with, like, the, you know, the combat, the, like, melee combat being so easy, so simple, where you are this one-man army, also making it weird to me that you would have co-op, where it was like, watching them demo the game at the Ubisoft conference, I was like, they were sneaking around, and it's cool that there's a stealth system, don't get me wrong, I've been complaining about the fact that you cannot crouch in Assassin's Creed game since the first one, because they have always designed stealth missions, and never given you the tools to execute them properly. The only time, like, Assassin's Creed 4's plantation missions were, like, acceptable, they were like okay, but they still felt like you were trying to push stealth onto a game that has no stealth mechanics, so you put all these weird things in the environment where it's like, if you are in here you can't be seen, instead of like allowing me to sort of like naturally engage with cover and be stealthy like you would in any other stealth game that has been made since like the fucking 90s, you know? So I'm glad they're putting in stealth, but on the other hand, unless like the mission requirements require you to be stealthy, it's like, I was just watching the trailer, and it's like, dude, just run into that room and kill everybody. Because I saw, in the Ubisoft press conference, like, I saw him get into a little fight with, like, three dudes. And guess what? Counter kills and combo kills are still in there. So, the combat, at least as far as that's concerned, is not fundamentally changed. So, you know, I can kill, like, 50 dudes in the Assassin's Creed game at this point and not get a single hit. So, why do I need other people with me? It seems like they've just slowed me down, you know?
Well, it really is an interesting thing. You and I are coming at this game from such different perspectives.
Because the Assassin's Creed 4 is the only Assassin's Creed game you've played.
Yeah.
Well,
and what's interesting to me is I think, like, I'm betting there are a lot of people in my position at this point where I think they made a good jumping on point for people. I'm guessing the number of people who have religiously played every Assassin's Creed game like you have. I shouldn't say you reluctantly
played
them
all.
Yeah,
I have inexplicably and unfortunately played every single Assassin's Creed game.
But that's, you know, I'm betting not everyone has followed it that closely. And it's just, you know, my major hope for Unity, and if they can do this, then I'll be happy, is if, you know, story-wise, they can bring the same kind of, you know, just, I think, storytelling clarity they did to Black Flag, where it was just, it's not a great pirate story, it's not the most insightful pirate story they've ever told, but it used its setting fantastically well. It told a story that was really just tied directly into its setting, and it had characters who popped. If they can do that in Unity, and I think the French Revolution is an interesting time to explore with that, and I think there are similar opportunities there. If they have that, I'll be happy, and if, you know, they can find enough variation within it. I don't know if they'll have anything like the pirate ship mechanics. All we know so far is that it seems like it's fairly landlocked, but if there's some other stuff in there to break it up, if there's some other stuff to break it up, that would be good too. But either way, I'm excited just because I'm still fresh on Assassin's Creed. I've only played the one and I loved the hell out of it, and I'm excited for more.
Yeah, I mean, the big question that still sort of hangs over Assassin's Creed that was not clarified at all is what is the story now in terms of like the meta narrative, like the actual events that are going on? Because, like, one of the things about these Assassin's Creed franchises, and kind of Ubisoft in general, is that when they let their story just have, like, be kind of funny and a little bit crazy, it works okay. You know, Far Cry 3, it's like they messed up a lot of the execution, but it worked pretty well for the most part. It's like the Assassin's Creed 2 games, compared to, like, Assassin's Creed 1, those stories work way better because they have some humor to them, because Ezio is a fun character, even if he isn't much of a character. It's like it's better than what Altair is, where it's like they were very serious, very deadpan with the original Assassin's Creed. And the Assassin's Creed 3 kind of was in between, and I think did some interesting stuff, but botched its execution in some ways that like made people hate that game like way too much, like in an excessive fashion, but I understand why they hate it. With Assassin's Creed 4, I think they had a really good, like, really funny, like, hilarious meta-narrative of the satire, and it fit with the pirate thing because the pirate's so excessive. It's really funny and lighthearted. It has some serious moments that pay off well, but for the most part, you know, Edward is this fun character that you're happy to play with. Blackbeard is this cool fucking dude, you know, that's a fun character to be with. The French Revolution
is not a happy, fun,
like, yay situation. It is this, like, horrible, horrific, terrifying, bloody thing where, you know, you have this really oppressive monarchy, which is overthrown, but overthrown in the most destructive, bloody, disgusting, amoral way you possibly could do it. Like, the French Revolution is a model for how you should not have a revolution in terms of like the violence of it. You know, they ended up creating this just bizarre fucking, you know, totalitarian state that was far worse than the monarchy was afterwards with Robespierre. So I don't have a lot of confidence that Ubisoft is going to be able to tell any sort of real story of the French Revolution with any grace or, you know, anything.
Well, and as we just saw with Watch Dogs, when they try to
do something serious, it's...
I mean, no, Watch Dogs is an utter failure of a story. Yeah. I should say I finally finished the campaign for that, and good God, the story in that game is just atrocious. There's nothing redeemable about it. It's awful.
That being set in the French Revolution, they can't, especially seeing the tone of the trailers and stuff, and the demo, they can't do the satire thing. They cannot do that, because it would be this crazy contrast between, like, because I will say, one of the most impressive things about Unity, and about the demos to me, was, like, their version of Revolution France was really, really interesting and really well created, where you had massive sprawling crowds, and the streets just piled with, like, destroyed, you know, if you ever seen, like, Les Miserables and stuff like that, it's like, just, like, destruction and carnage everywhere, all these people, like, poor, starving, just, like, mad, raving, like, attacking the guards and stuff, like, that was really, really good and really well done, but it's also really dark and dour and not a thing that you can then have, like, hey, like, we're having you go back into the past to make this video game for us, and we're working with Ubisoft, wink, wink, and everyone working here has funny French-Canadian accents. It's like, that's not... So, it's like, I'm probably going to end up getting Unity. No, okay, I'm going to get Unity. Like, I, at this point, I don't actually... I seriously don't even plan on buying it. I know I'm going to get it. I'm going to get that game and play
it. Why would you not?
It's just, it will happen. But I am pretty skeptical of it.
Well, and I agree with everything you're saying. I do think Unity will be narratively a major test for them. My only hope is that, you know, the way you just described the French Revolution and I think the amount of stuff that goes on there, I think there is such potential to tell a good story there, and I think they've got...
Don't do this to yourself! I'm not going to say they can. I'm saying
the potential exists.
There is potential there, and that's what makes it...
Yeah. My hope is that they can tap into that. I think it's a test for them. I think this is a major test for them as a company narratively, because if they can tackle that, and I'm not at all saying I'm confident they can, please understand the difference here.
Okay, good.
I'm not saying they can, but if they manage to pull that off even 50% well, that's, you know, that's a foundation for the future, because that says they can make more, you know...
And it's like, and I should say, with Assassin's Creed 3, I do think a lot of that stuff they handled in a very interesting fashion, but again, they got, like, burned for it, because they did try to... They had some ambitions with Assassin's Creed 3, and people, you know, like, people hate the Connor character, the main character from that game, even though he's by far the most nuanced and interesting protagonist, because he is a very stoic character, everyone hated him because they couldn't just have fun being him. So I'm worried about, like, the one time they did, like, an okay... I'm not trying to say Assassin's Creed 3's story is amazing, but they did an okay job, they had some good ideas, and the way they presented the American Revolution was way better than the possibility of it being, like, this really jingoistic thing. Like, it probably wouldn't have been like that, because they're not an American company. But still, like, being American, you can see that story being told in this really disingenuous fashion, whereas actually having it from, like, a proper Native American perspective, having that much respect for the culture, it's like, they did it well by that. But again, that was, like, the game where people fucking hate Assassin's Creed 3, so...
And I do think the second half of Black Flag is at its most interesting when they go dark.
Sure.
That is the best part of Black Flag narratively, is they subvert the idea of pirates as fun in the last half, and it gets really good. The difference is, though, you cannot subvert the French Revolution. It starts dark, and it gets darker.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But, you know, they've got... I do think visually they've got the scale right. They've got the look right. Yeah. They've got those sorts of things.
The guy's coat has really long coattails now. I feel like every Assassin's Creed game, the coattails just, like, grow, like, 2 inches.
So I think the raw material is there. I hope they make something out of it. And hope is different than expectations.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I will play Unity no matter what. I am excited for that game. Even if the story is crap, I'll have fun playing more Assassin's Creed. But we'll see. Yeah. We've spent way too long on this one game.
Yeah, but like I think that addresses it for the Ubisoft conference
it does.
As well. So.
Yes. So let's talk about Sunset Overdrive. This is kind of Microsoft's big game this year on the Xbox One, it's coming out the exact same day as Assassin's Creed Unity, October 28th. That's interesting. But they showed a bunch of stuff for this, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a trailer and then a demo. And actually, you should watch the trailer. The trailer's pretty fucking great. I saw it. Oh, you saw it? Okay, yeah.
The Sunset Overdrive stuff, I don't know, maybe it's a little tattoo abrasive for me, but yeah.
Like, for me, I guess when I say the trailer is great, I mean the opening of the trailer,
okay.
Where especially watching the press conference and not knowing that it was a Sunset Overdrive trailer, it was just like, they start playing the next trailer, and it starts off with this, like, modern military, like, army dude hiding behind a box, shooting some, like, terrorist-looking fuckers from Counter-Strike, and then all of a sudden, this character from Sunset Overdrive just jumps in and, like, is skating around and shooting people. And it was really funny. He has a really, really... That character has a really great line at the end of that scene where he says, like, you and your box are safe. And it's just, like, it's a really good... Like, it's not going to be probably anything really, like, in the game, but it's a really funny satire of the state. Even though it's not, like we said, it doesn't seem like it is the state of games anymore. Like, everything is going kind of sci-fi now and a little more ridiculous. It is a funny poke at, like, yeah. You know... Battlefield Hardline, which is what I thought it was going to be. It was like, oh, okay, this must be the Battlefield Hardline trailer. It's like, oh, fuck, no, it's not.
So this is interesting to me. We've got Sunset Overdrive. I only saw a little bit of it, but it's this new kind of thing. Tell us what it's about, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know.
It's the new game by Insomniac. It had a small teaser trailer last year. For those who don't know, Insomniac is the Ratchet and Clank people, mostly, is what they're known for. And it's sort of this very ridiculous... like third-person shooter, but there's a lot of... I've heard it described by games media who have played it, that it's kind of like Tony Hawk mixed with a third-person shooter in some ways, that it's like you have this kind of trick system, and a lot of emphasis is put on the movement in the game, so there's all this... You're gliding around rails, you're like swinging on poles, it's very fast, very fluid motion, and it's sort of... It's you know, the whole point of the joke at the beginning was that the guy, he was the game... that the Sunset Overdrive guy came into was this slow, plodding, dull, gray, third-person cover shooter. And this is this bright, cheerful, saturated, really quick, over-the-top, crazy third-person shooter. And so there's a lot of emphasis on crazy weapons, like crazy character designs, very irreverent 90s Tude-esque dialogue where the dude is like talking into the camera and basically breaking the fourth wall. Like, it kind of, like, feels like half the dialogue was written from a Deadpool comic. And, you know, it looks cool. Like, it doesn't seem like a game that, you know, obviously I don't have an Xbox One, so I couldn't play it. But it doesn't seem like a game I would necessarily buy. But it's a game that made a pretty cool trailer. I was kind of into the trailer, so...
Well, and I actually like the whole idea of Sunset Overdrive. It sounds pretty cool. I don't know... Again, I don't know if it's something... this is a theme, though, I would say for most of the games they showed at the Xbox press conference, is that... A lot of these are not games I would find myself playing, but they look like good, interesting, sometimes innovative games that would offer a lot to gamers.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's why I came away feeling fairly positive about this press conference, is that the fact that a lot of this didn't feel for me, but I also didn't feel negative towards it, that tells me that the people who own Xbox Ones probably came out of that happy, and that's good. There's a lot of... It seems like Sunset Overdrive and a lot of these other things they're showing, those seem like games that Xbox gamers would really enjoy, and that's one of the number one things Microsoft needs to be doing.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha.
Yeah, that was maybe my favorite part of all of E3 in some ways. That trailer was so... just the end of that trailer was so fucking funny, where it's like Capcom really kind of poking fun at itself.
Yeah.
And it was just the pacing of it, where it's Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha. It's like the way they like tacked on like every little thing that Plus Alpha. I was fucking like rolling on the ground laughing after that, because it was... I mean, you know, I like Dead Rising. It seemed like that was a... And people seemed to really like Dead Rising 3, and it seemed like the worries about that game before it came out, of it not sort of keeping the really strange tone of the Dead Rising games, were, you know, just like bad marketing, and that the game did have like a bunch of just weird, crazy shit. And this seems like, you know, if I had an Xbox One, I would totally fucking buy this based on that trailer. Like, that seemed really cool and over the top and weird.
I think it's interesting. Both Sony and Microsoft had a lot of DLC-heavy stuff at the top of the show.
Sure, yeah.
And normally that would bore me to tears. I just wouldn't care about that. But I thought it all seemed like stuff that, if you're interested in those games, or even in the platform, it seemed like cool DLC stuff. Like this, if you like Dead Rising, and if you are an Xbox fan, you probably like Dead Rising. It's like, that's awesome. And it's, again, as you say, Capcom being very self-aware.
Yeah.
It feels like a really good use of what they've got.
Yeah, like all the weird, just like, hey, there's, like, you know, Frank from Dead Rising 1 in a Felicia costume from Darkstalkers.
Yeah, and we should say,
shit.
Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha is a bunch of Capcom costumes and UI upgrades and whatnot.
Yeah, it's, and like it's some weird arcade mode and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
so there's big silly fun kind of,
you know, it's add-on. Like the second best game title since like Persona 4 Arena, the Ultimax Ultra Suplex Hold.
Yes. Indeed. Keeping on this theme of, you know, kind of Xbox games, we've got Fable Legends.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Fable, so I didn't even try to make sense of this. What's this about?
I really like Fable 1. I think Fable 2 is a great fucking game. Fable 3 is awful. It's one of my least favorite games ever. It is a piece of shit, and it has... I will say, because I don't think I've ever talked about Fable 3 on this podcast before. I have one thing to say about Fable 3. If you are making a fucking open world RPG game, and to get to the map screen, you make me press start and put the character into some weird, like real world menu where he walks through stuff, and you make it so I can't press a hotkey to just go to the map screen. Every time I want to see the map, I have to press start and take two fucking steps and hit A to go to the map. You can go fuck yourself.
That's a real thing?
That is what they contextualize the menu in the game. So it's like you press start and your hero's like consciousness is transported to some weird realm where I think John Cleese voices your butler, which that's kind of cool, but he's just kind of there. And then you, like, if you want to go into the dressing room to change your armor and like all this shit, but it's like the map is in the center of the room and it's like two or three steps away, and it's like the most aggravating two or three steps because it is also the worst map I have ever seen. Like, there's no detail, there's nothing labeled, and it's like impossible to find anything.
That's
in the
so
game.
Weird because we've
is maddening.
I mean, if anything, we're moving towards making the maps more accessible now. It's like, you know, you've got like your DS and stuff where the map is just there all the time.
Yeah.
That's, the map should be the easy part.
Yeah, no, you should not have to, I should not have to walk to my fucking map. All right. That's Fable 3.
Does Fable Legends look like it will improve on that?
Fable Legends looks like something completely different. I have no idea.
What is it? I don't get it.
So it seems like, and I have no idea, because they showed it a little bit last year too, and I have no idea if there's going to be like a single player component, but they have not talked about a single player component at all. Because Fable historically is like a totally single player game. There was some co-op stuff in 2 and 3, but it was like really primarily 100% single player. So this is like 4-player co-op, but with some asynchronous element where one player can play the villain and be like, the dude who was giving this demo was so over the top where he was like, and you, the player, can become a malevolent god who can manipulate monsters and traps in the environment to destroy the courageous heroes. It was really... It was unfortunate because one of the great things about Fable is that it has this really strange British charm, like very sort of Monty Python-esque humor to it, and that dude did not have a British accent demoing the game, kind of ruined the entire effect to me.
That's too bad.
But yeah, it seemed like it might be kind of cool. The idea of this asynchronous multiplayer is always kind of interesting. I don't think it's ever been executed on, like, a ton of games have tried to do something similar, but I don't think it's ever been, like, perfectly done yet.
Mario Party 10.
Exactly. Well, yeah, Mario Party 10 basically has the exact same idea, only except for Mario Party 10 already has 3v1 minigames, so having, like, we'll talk about them more later.
Yeah,
but
we'll
anyway.
Talk.
Yeah, so Fable Legends, it seems like it might be okay, but it doesn't, for me as someone who, again, I think, like, Fable 2 is one of my favorite games from the last generation. I love that game so much. I'm not interested in it at all. It doesn't seem like a Fable game to me. It seems like, and it's also Peter Molyneux, who, you know, God bless him, the dude was crazy, like, with how he overhyped stuff. He was, like, the lead guy for Lionhead and on the Fable projects. And he kind of, I think, had a very sort of, like, background presence on Fable 3, which maybe is one of the reasons why they fucked it up so bad. Like, it's really noticeable that he is not with Lionhead anymore. It's really noticeable that this is not his Fable, you know? Like, there was a degree of sort of creative and artistic control that I feel like he exerted over that franchise that was really apparent, that without him there, it's like, this just it doesn't feel like Fable to me, which is kind of sad, so.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right, so I tuned into the conference right here where they were talking about Project Spark, and it was right as Conker is getting on screen, and I'm like, is that Conker? That can't be Conker. That just can't be him.
It was the weirdest cameo. Because so Project Spark is another game that they demoed at E3 last year.
It's been in beta for a while.
Yeah, it's been in beta.
Open beta.
Yeah, it's basically like one of the kind of like Little Big Planet, like, it's a game where it's not the game that's the game, it's the you making the game that's the game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Game. Yeah, but it's this, you know, user-generated creation tool, kind of like, you know, a map creator kind of became its own video game. That seems what Project Spark is like. I don't have any personal interest in those kinds of games, but it seemed kind of cool. But yeah, at the end of the trailer, the logo comes up, and then out of fucking nowhere, and this is the only Rare thing, like Rare the studio, that is in any of that was in any of the Microsoft conference, because I think like the Kinect Sports Rivals game just bombed like hell, because you know nobody gives a fuck. But yeah, Conker just comes out of nowhere and chainsaws the logo, and he's like, hey, I haven't been in a game for like 10 years, so I'm going to be in this. And I was like, no, because having cartoon characters who swear stopped being funny the moment people came up with that idea of like, hey, motherfuckers, I'm fucking Conker. I'm going to fuck you in the fucking mouth, you fucking bitch. Like, who gives a fuck? It's not funny. It's never been funny. Conker is a stupid character. It was a stupid thing. Fuck Conker. So
even if you hypothetically like Conker, though,
yeah, it's like
why Project Spark?
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, Conker, like he said it in the thing. It's like, I haven't been in a game in 10 years. Nobody even remembers who I am.
Right. You know what would have been better if Conker had showed up in the Little Big Planet demo.
It's like, what's up, motherfuckers? You playing Little Big Planet? I'm gonna fucking cut you open, you sack bitch.
Sony, you can have that idea on us. License Conker.
Yeah, unfortunately, Sony would have to license a Microsoft-owned character, but sure.
All right. They showed an indie game called Ori and the Blind Forest.
That seemed pretty cool. It was like...
God, we had a lot of good indie game trailers this year. Oh, man. Lots of good stuff.
Yeah, that
I don't know a lot about this one yet. Yeah. No one does, but it looks...
Seems like there's like a like chubby dude and who has a mask and like a cat alien... Kind of looks like Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
And then a giant cool owl monster.
Yeah.
That's all I know about it.
But let's get into the big part of the Microsoft show, which was the unveiling of Halo the Master Chief Collection, which will compile Halos 1, 2, 3, and 4, not just the campaigns, which for Halo 1 and 2 are fully remastered, Halo 2 getting the anniversary treatment, but also every single multiplayer map from all of those games played on their original engines, but now on dedicated servers. Here's the interesting thing about Halo the Master Chief Collection.
Okay.
This sounds like a fucking fantastic 10 out of 10 amazing release they've put together.
Yeah.
And yet, because it's kind of the centerpiece of their show, it inevitably feels a tad underwhelming because at the end of the day, as good a package as they've put together, and this is clearly a great deal for Halo fans, it is four old games.
Yeah. It cannot be understated how awesome. Like, it's like the Criterion treatment, basically, yes, for Halo games, which that's fucking awesome.
And I was saying this to you earlier, I love the idea that Halo Combat Evolved and 2 and 3 and 4, which will probably go offline on the Xbox 360 someday.
Yeah.
I love that they are getting archived, they are coming back, that multiplayer and those communities will be allowed to be there and flourish again, and they will be archived for a new generation of gamers for a long time to come. That is cool. These are pieces of game history, and more than anything else, they are great pieces of game history, and I love the idea of being able to play them again.
Yeah. So, it's an awesome package. I mean, it was a thing... But it is kind of like the sad thing about the Microsoft press conference. It was the thing that I was by far the most interested in.
Yes.
But it was like, but it is a re-release, like a great re-release, but a re-release of, like, I have so much Halo shit, dude. I own these games. I've played Halo 2 to death. And I would love, like, I mean, there was this very serious moment where they'd had this, like, small little multiplayer match on their remastered Ascension where I was like, I have to have this because it's like
I had
so much nostalgia wrapped up in that game.
I had that exact same reaction because I was looking at the Master Chief Collection and I'm like, this, I want this game so badly. I'm like, do I have to buy an Xbox One? And then I thought about it. I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah, you calm down for a second.
Because here's the thing. End of the day, 3 and 4, they're going to be in the exact same forms I have on my 360 now. One, I already have the anniversary edition of.
Yeah.
Two is the only thing here, and you know, it's... It would seem really nice, but 2 is also my least favorite campaign in the series.
Yeah.
I love the multiplayer. I would like to play it again, but, you know, I don't... That's the only thing I feel like I need to have out of this, and it's not worth a whole new console.
Yeah. And, you know, also... I mean, there were a couple of things, you know, being a Halo diehard, that they seriously fucked up about this reveal. One, the opening, like, blur CG trailer that they showed was kind of like, it was a cool trailer because it was this recreation of the scene from Halo 2. Master Chief is, yeah, like, giving the Covenant back their bomb, and then he, like, gives them back their bomb. Great scene. However, that scene, they omitted one of my favorite shots from the original cutscene, where Master Chief has the bomb and he goes into the reactor of the Covenant ship and then kicks off and goes back out into the space. In this, he just kicks the bomb at the Covenant ship and it blows up. And it's supposed to be like this hollow recording of the actual event that the fucking dude from the Halo 5 box art is looking at while Keith David talks to him, you know? So, that's fucked up. Like, did you not even watch the cutscene? What the fuck? Two, in the Halo 2 anniversary multiplayer thing, they redesigned the HUD and they put the shield bar at the top middle of the screen like it is in most Halo games, like Halo 3 on, instead of putting it right above the minimap, which is where it was in Halo 2, and is the only game that had the shield bar there. So I don't know why you do that. I think it is an excessive redesign. You know, it's like almost as bad as like Darth Vader going, no, like, it's fucked up. It's all fucked up. So.
All right. Well, but again, I mean, if you don't like that, you would have every single Halo 2 multiplayer map, yeah, to play in its original form.
And, you know, I could hit the back button. I mean, they don't have the back button anymore. I could hit the, like...
It's called the view button.
There are some, like, abstract squares on this button. Figure, yeah, out what that means. Button. And then I could look at the actual Halo 2, but...
Yeah. I just, you know, it's a weird thing because this is such a fucking fantastic package they announced. I was getting so excited for it, and then I'm remembering I don't own this console. But man, you know, if I did own an Xbox One, I would feel so great about this. Game. Oh, I would play. I would never stop playing it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't.
Because that thing's probably just going to be released for $60. What a tremendous fucking value that is. Like, yeah. Good God.
It is Halo in a box.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost
although it's sad that, like...
Reach and ODST aren't there. ODST,
especially ODST has such a great campaign.
I'm a little confused why ODST doesn't go in there, because it's the exact same engine as 3. It's not a lot to add in.
Yeah, it's like a small, like, 5-hour campaign. Like, I would be fine if you omitted the firefight. You just, like, stuff the campaign in there. That would be fine.
But, that's more to re-release in the future.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. We'll have the, like, three years from now, we'll have the Halo 3 Anniversary Edition, which will have ODST bundled in or something.
Sure. But, I mean, it's just...
Super Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. But all I was saying is that, you know, if you have an Xbox One, they just announced this is an Orange Box level deal in gaming.
Exactly,
yeah. It's fantastic. But I don't know if it's the kind of thing that would push Xbox Ones, especially because I feel like if you are enough of a diehard Halo fan to follow a console to its next iteration because you love Halo, you've already done that.
Yeah.
They don't need to sell you on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. And even then, you and I are huge Halo fans, or were, but I think partly because we're not as interested in the future of the franchise, they've already kind of lost us, and nostalgia isn't going to get us back in.
But it is really telling that I was more excited and more happy and more interested in their, like, nostalgic retread than, like, the little bit they talked and showed about Halo 5. Which, we should also say, like, that was super disappointing of... I mean, I guess there was a little bit of Halo 5 stuff in their weird trailer where it was, like, you know, about the Master Chief Collection. It was, like, contextualized as this new character talking to the Arbiter, and the Arbiter being like, you have to find the Chief, and in order to do that, you have to know everything he has done, so play all these video games and give me $60.
Yeah.
But that's, you know... That's telling about, like, where I am with Halo, that I am way more interested in, like, I want shinier old stuff than I want brand new stuff. But to be fair to the Master Chief Collection, it does come with this Halo Nightfall
TV show
thing, like, that Ridley Scott is executive producing.
Which means he has no involvement in it whatsoever.
There is some sort of bizarre, and, like, Ridley Scott exists somehow in relation to this thing.
You know what it means? It means they gave him a check, and he gave them his name.
So they are contractually obliged to, and, like, you know, financially obligated to mention that Ridley Scott exists in relation to this thing we are making.
Yeah.
In some fashion. Like how there's some separate Steven Spielberg thing, where Steven Spielberg exists in relation to a totally different Halo thing that they're making, hypothetically. They didn't talk about it here, but I assume that thing's still in production. But so, yeah, so this Halo Nightfall... show, I guess, since it seems they it said like it comes with it, I guess maybe it's like a short film or something.
It's a series of short films. The pilot comes with it day one, and it'll be releasing episodically weeks thereafter.
Yeah, I don't think they clarified that at the conference.
It starts in December, I think. No, that's Power starts in December. That's Sony. Yeah. It does. It starts day one with the Master Chief Collection, but it'll air in weekly increments, I think. Yeah. It's going to be like, it sounded like to me, the Halo 4 movie. What was that called?
Forward Unto Dawn.
Forward Unto Dawn, yeah. Where it's like smaller. This will be higher budget and whatnot, but
And the Forward Unto Dawn thing was pretty cool, you know, for a Halo fan. I think for a normal person, you would.
And you do get the Halo 5 Guardians beta this December, so that's neat.
Although, this may be jumping ahead, but they announced a new Crackdown. I really wish they had stuffed the Halo 5 beta onto the new Crackdown, because that's the game that the Halo 3 beta was originally attached to, which got me to buy Crackdown, and then I suddenly discovered that, holy shit, Crackdown's a great game.
Yeah, so that would be a good strategy. But any other things to say about Halo? We need to get moving on.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
So anyway, let's see. They had a big indie game part here, and kind of the highlight of that was the creators of Limbo came out to show their new game. Did it have a title?
Inside.
Inside, yeah.
And they did a cool thing where it was like the copyright was in Roman numerals, so it was like an old movie.
Oh, nice.
I noticed that.
Yeah, it looked neat.
Like there wasn't a lot to it, but like I never played Limbo. It seems like, I don't know, I kind of stuff Limbo into this category of like generic old indie artsy platformer that like probably is actually pretty good, but for some reason I have no interest in playing.
Yeah.
You know? It seems cool.
But fuck that. They announced Rise of the Tomb Raider, and instantly one of my most anticipated games, because...
And also, I feel like they're competing with Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice for worst title.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Like, how do you make a video game that has a title that sounds like it is like this shitty video game to your video game, you know?
Yes.
Like, how did you do that?
Oh, well. But, you know, I don't care. I didn't even care about what was in the CGI trailer. It's just Tomb Raider, the 2012 Tomb Raider game, 2013 Tomb Raider game, was so fucking phenomenal. One of the best games of that year. Honestly, one of my favorite third-person adventure games I've ever played. I just cannot wait for this. I want more of that. I cannot wait to see what they can do when they're developing this for next-gen consoles. And, it's one of those games that just the presence of it is all I need to be excited for it.
Yeah. And, like, for me, you know, I didn't play that new Tomb Raider, and I probably will at some point, because I am interested. I always kind of have been interested in this Tomb Raider reboot, never got around to playing it. But, like, the content of the CG trailer was pretty cool. It seemed like, you know, I don't know the specifics of the Tomb Raider reboot story, but I know, like, kind of the generic, like, overall thing.
Shit happens.
Yeah, and so it seems like the direction they're going with, like, her at therapy and stuff, and, like, kind of being pulled between her to becoming a Tomb Raider and raiding some tombs, and, like, maybe these last vestiges of her humanity are fighting with each other, and at the end she obviously becomes some sort of, like, mass-murdering sociopath and, like fully embraces that part of herself. And that's what the Tomb Raider will be. I don't know what they're going to call the third game now. Because it seems like the first one was, like, the Tomb Raider origin story, right? Like, that was the whole premise. It's like, we have this cool character, we're going to, like, tell her origin in this, like, new gritty universe. But now it's Rise of the Tomb Raider, which sounds right like, you know, Tomb Raider Begins, basically.
Well, it's interesting because I think one of the directions they still have yet to go is that you don't do a lot of tomb raiding in the first Tomb Raider game. It's all optional. It's like, and they're actually really good parts of the game if you play them all, but you kind of, and I think one of the good things about that game, it's almost like Infamous Second Son, where you want to and are incentivized to do every one of the side missions and 100% it, because it's just more fun that way. But they did leave all the tomb raiding for the side missions. Maybe the idea is that they're going more in that direction here. But yeah, they could have just called it Tomb Raider 2. Whatever, you know, but Rise of the Tomb Raider, not a great title.
No, not at all.
The Witcher 3.
Seems cool. I didn't like The Witcher 1, and, like, I want to be really interested in The Witcher 3, but I just can't, because I so did not like Witcher 1, even though I know Witcher 2 is supposed to be fantastic. I've never played Witcher 2. Everyone's super excited for Witcher 3, and the demo looked awesome. I cannot bring myself to be interested in it for some reason. I don't know why.
Phantom Dust.
It's an Xbox game that I never played, that, like, nobody played. Apparently people liked. I didn't know a lot about it. It's like,
yeah, I've never heard of it, and people were really excited for it. What is it?
It's like a card action thing.
Okay. That's not going to sell consoles. Tom Clancy's The Division.
It's cool.
Continues to be The Division.
It was like, I felt like this was like the cut material from the demo from last year or something. Like, it just felt like it was the exact same thing.
When is this game ever coming out? Is it still for next year?
Maybe tentatively, who knows?
Okay. Yeah. Scalebound?
I really like Platinum. Platinum has made some really great games. They made Bayonetta and they made Vanquish, which was a fucking awesome third person shooter. This was an interesting looking CG trailer, but, like, I don't know anything about the game. So, yeah, who knows? Like, Platinum is a good developer, so that'll probably be a good game.
Well, it's nice that they were able to get one big new IP in there before the end, and that seems interesting. But they ended the show with a big new Crackdown reveal.
Yes. So, like I said earlier, Crackdown, the original Crackdown, great, great open world superpower game, basically. And, like, this was just a CG trailer for a new Crackdown. Crackdown 2, I never played. I heard, like, everybody hated it. I didn't play it because I played the demo, and I saw that in the demo, Crackdown 2 is set in the literally the exact same city, as in the same assets as Crackdown 1. So, no.
It would be like getting GTA 6 in San Andreas.
Yeah, it would be like if Lost and Damned was called GTA 5, you know?
Right.
It's like, fuck you. No, I'm not buying that. I bought this game when it was called Crackdown 1.
Yeah.
So, I never played Crackdown 2. I think Crackdown is a great franchise that should have, you know, it should have had a great Crackdown 2. So, like, they didn't show any gameplay or anything. But it seemed like it was Crackdown. It had the agent voice dude from Crackdown. It had an agility orb in there, and there was a dude who blew up stuff. So,
yes. So, we'll see. Rise of the Crackdown.
Exactly.
All right. And that was their conference. And
it was Microsoft.
So let's talk about Microsoft, what we thought of this conference. It was 100% straight, no-nonsense, just games.
Yeah, it was game, Super Ultra Dead Rising 3, like Arcade Remix, Hyper Edition, Ultra.
You can't even remember it, can you?
Plus Alpha. Yeah. I think I got almost all of
it. It was fun following the live blog for that part, because journalists could not type it up fast enough.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is this game? It's like, I like the thing that's like, oh, it's Super Ultra Dead Rising 3. Wait, no, it's Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix. Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition. Wait, no, it's like VX plus Alpha. Like they've like, right. Like 5 tweets about the game.
So here's the thing.
Yes.
It was all games. Microsoft needed to make a good game showing here. They did, but I felt there wasn't quite enough variance because the only thing they had was games.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
And I think like most, it was kind of disappointing that like almost, I think like all the games except for like a small handful, like some of the indie game stuff, and Scalebound were like games we already knew about, either games that like we know are coming out, like Assassin's Creed, or games that they like half of them were games that they showed at last E3 that still have not come out, like Sunset Overdrive. And you know, the new stuff, there wasn't any really like big gameplay thing, and that's one of the things I think Ubisoft figured out, and it's kind of biting them in the butt a little bit with Watch Dogs, where people are like, you know, pointing at, hey, you know, your original concept thing, like your original
was a lie.
I mean, it's excessive. Like, that's how it is for video game development. It's this vertical slice. It is not representative of what the product is going to be. They're going to make concessions in development. We should understand that. But it is, like, it is selling this idea to you that the game didn't live up to. That's, like, you know, that's, like, half, like, it's almost everything. But, yeah, but Ubisoft figured out that formula, and they replicated it in their conference, where you show your big new thing is fucking gameplay. Like, even if it is this, like, vertical slice, pre-alpha, target thing, it's still gameplay. And to me, like, you know, that's way more interesting. Like, if they had showed a dude playing the Crackdown game, I would have been way more excited than seeing a Crackdown CG trailer that's like, I know what Crackdown is. So it's like nothing in that trailer other than, you know, it's going to be in a new city. Like, that was the biggest, like, most information you could glean from that trailer. And that's not... That's, like, what Crackdown 2 should have been. That's not anything crazy. So, yeah. While it's, like, their conference was good, like, it was cool that they focused so much on games. I think it felt, at the end of the day, like a trailer reel to me with not enough gameplay, not enough new stuff, and that kind of, like, I just felt exhausted by the time I got to the end of their conference. I was just like, you needed to pace it. Like, you should have... You know, I get that, like, people bitch about when you guys talk about stuff that isn't just a video game, but it's like, you need to talk about your platform, you need to talk about, like, improvements you're making on your platform, that kind of, like, big-level message stuff, like, what you're trying to do with your platform, especially since I don't know what the fuck they're trying to do, considering, like, you know, they mentioned, like, Harmonix is making some Dance Central game that will be on Kinect. They didn't show anything of it. They just said that it exists. That was, like, the only mention of Kinect in the entire conference. So, I don't know what that console is. Because that console was originally designed to be a heavy multimedia machine. And this conference is positioning it as this pure gaming device, which to me is, like...
That's not what it is.
That's troubling. Yeah, because that's not what it was designed to be. And trying to retrofit it as that thing is... Like, it still does not present any compelling reason to buy it over a PS4. You know, it doesn't have anything other than, like, a handful of games that don't seem that interesting
over
the PS4, you know?
Right, especially when you can ask, you know, seriously the question for all the multi-platform games they showed, are any of these going to run at all as well as they will on PS4?
And all of them are going to run worse. Like, yeah, it's not just going to be significantly worse, but it will be worse. There will be a qualitative difference.
So it's just, I mean, I agree with that. I would have liked to see, they needed to say something about what the unifying identity of their console is going to be, what kind of vision they have for the future. I thought they showed a little bit more identity here in the choice of games they picked to show than they have had in the last couple months, in that this did feel like a set of games that would appeal to, you know, what I think of as Xbox gamers, Xbox community.
Sure.
It felt a little more cohesive there, just as I think Sony has done a good job in recent years of, like, these are PlayStation games, this is what people come to PlayStation for. And there's a lot of overlap between those, but I did feel like that identity was there. But that identity was not, like, pushed out. It was kind of there in things, but it wasn't at the forefront of things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This was a step in the right direction.
I agree.
But it's not, you know, a marathon in the right direction.
Sure. Weird metaphor, but sure.
Yeah. In any case. You want to move on and talk about some other stuff?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about, is it Ubisoft next?
No, EA.
EA was next, okay. So. EA, I don't want to go through each piece of the news, but let's...
Because you didn't watch EA's, right? That was
no. I mean, I looked it all up earlier. I'm familiar with the news. Yeah. But,
Let me just talk about EA's pretty quick, because it's just it. Like, EA's press conference to me was a real, real fucking shit show. In that they showed, like, the main bulk of their presentation was showing, like, complete known quantities. Where it's like, if you're going to an EA press conference, you know you're going to see Madden, you're going to see, like, their whole suite of sports games, which includes, like, NHL, FIFA. And they also showed, like, now it's not Tiger Woods golf anymore. It's like PGA Tour or something, which has, like, weird fantasy golf courses or something. That was, like, all they showed about it. So it's like, you know you're going to get your yearly, annual EA Sports titles. And, you know, they're going to have ridiculously over-the-top melodramatic trailers. The best one was, you should watch it because it's great. It's so over-the-top. It's the FIFA trailer, which has fucking Idris Elba narrating
it. Oh, God.
Saying something just like... This isn't a game. This is football. Like, it's just... It's really over the top and really fucking funny. But yeah, that was, like, the core of, like, actual video games, like, proper video games that are being released that they showed. There's this weird section where they have the rights to the UFC, so they have this UFC game that's coming out really soon, and apparently Bruce Lee is a playable character in it, which is just weird, because it's like... I don't know. It's Bruce Lee, and it's like... Bruce Lee's dead, and he never... You know, he died before the UFC was created. It's weird that he is in this game. I mean, they showed a really cool Bruce Lee clip before they showed the game, so that was cool, but that's still weird. So that was, like, sort of their core thing. But the rest of their presentation was, like, they showed this whole series of, like, this, all this BioWare stuff, all this DICE stuff. DICE is, like, their Battlefield guys. And like, this Criterion game, which, like, there was no game. So it's, like, it opened with... DICE showing this, like, we are working on Star Wars Battlefront. Like, look, we got to go to the locations where the movies were shot. And look, we got access to some of the props from the movies to model. It's like, we are making a Battlefront game someday. And it's like, okay. And then it was like, we're making Mirror's Edge 2. It's totally a game. It is being made. It is a game that shall exist maybe someday if it doesn't get canceled. It's like, okay. Criterion's like, we are making a game. Here's some, like, super test footage of stuff that we haven't even bothered texturing. It's so early. We are, like, in the playtest stage of, like, what we want the game to be. It's got, like, planes and helicopters in it. It's like, okay. And then we have, like, here's all these masters or these BioWare people. It's like, we're working on a new IP. We're not going to show you anything from it. We're not going to tell you anything about it. But we're working on it. And we're making a Mass Effect game. Here's a new Krogan model. It's like... Okay, like, why did you just spend, like, half of their conference was, we're making these games, we promise we're making them, they will be games that come out, but, like, everything we have from them is so early that we might as well have just come out and shown you concept art.
Will any of those games come out before 2016?
Maybe. Like, they said they're going to show... Like, this was... At their end of the Battlefront thing, this is really telling. They said, see more spring 2015.
Oh, God.
See more. So it's like the next time we see that game is going to be spring 2015. And so that's, yeah, like, I don't think any of those, some of those games might come out 2016 or, like, late 2015, maybe.
But, like, it's weird because I want to play all of those games you just talked about.
Yeah, like, those were the cool games. They also, I should say, they had a, like, small Dragon Age 3 demo. I don't know a whole lot about Dragon Age 3. I loved Dragon Age 1, so I will buy Dragon Age 3, but they didn't show enough about it that I don't have anything to talk about for it. So that was, Dragon Age 3 was, like, the only game they showed that was, like, that's a game coming out. It's coming out this year. It looks really cool. I'm going to buy it. It's, like, everything else was, like, a sports title or some fantasy thing that will exist maybe in the future.
Right. So here's what I was going to say about this game. So they all sound like the games I want to play, but the way they introduce them, it just frustrates me because, like, with Mass Effect, we have heard every word in that Mass Effect trailer before.
Yeah,
about
Mass Effect
4.
Yeah.
They've released that video. I mean, not literally that video, but they've released the content of that video before. We know all that. We know this about Star Wars Battlefront. We didn't know this thing from Criterion. I think that sounds like a really cool idea for Criterion to be doing, but we don't even know what it is as a game.
Yeah, and so I just want to play Burnout Paradise 2. And I know that Criterion is not, you know, most of the people that made Burnout Paradise aren't there anymore. I still just want Burnout Paradise 2.
Okay. But yeah, it's just, it's a really weird way to do things. It's the worst of E3 where you have, you know, we're going to talk about stuff that you will not see for years and years. That's the most frustrating thing about E3. And this E3, so much of it felt like they were trying consciously to move away from that. Microsoft had stuff where it's like, you know, like the DLC for Forza. It's like, we've got this cool DLC. Yeah. You can play it right now.
Oh, and that's Sony, the other thing. The Dead Rising 3 thing was released that day, too. So,
yes.
Like, the Dead Rising 3 one was like, this DLC is out fucking now, dude.
Yeah. So it's like, and it's Sony did it with a full real, you know, indie game, and other people were doing this. They even, you know, EA even did this with Battlefront Hardline and having a beta today. And the Sony and Activision did it with Destiny. You can play the alpha this week. So the idea is we're not just talking in hypotheticals. We're going to show you, if you want to see the proof of what we're talking about, you can go play it right now. That to me is so much more exciting than Mass Effect 4 will exist someday, maybe hypothetically.
Yeah.
Thanks. You know, who gives a shit? I love Mass Effect more than almost any other series, but just knowing that it's in the ether does not excite me.
Exactly. It's like, did not, it's like, you could have at least done, like, something more. Like, it's how, like, it's really weird that they didn't even bother to, like, just make a teaser trailer. Like, that would have been way more interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to have all these fucking BioWare guys talk to me about the fact that they're making a video game. I want to see, like, even if it's, like, bullshit, I would rather see a teaser trailer than that, so...
Yeah, it's too bad. But let's move on. I mean, is there anything else to talk about from EA? EA is EA at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing was that Battlefield Hardline game, which is, like, Battlefield, but it's, like, cops versus robbers, which weirdly, like, watching the trailer, like, it being cops versus robbers makes me, like, kind of weirdly uncomfortable in a way that it's, like, when it's army guys fighting doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
There's this sort of, like, domestic element of it where it's, like, it being this way over the top, just super grandiose. Like, you know, it still is, like, we're knocking down skyscrapers, like, Levolution bullshit. That's still happening in Battlefield. It's, like, but it's, like, cops. It's, like, that's, I don't know. It's, like, I don't want to say it's in poor taste because I can't really justify why it would be over, like, a war, like, army shit, but it still makes me feel weird and like on the inside, you know?
All right, yeah. I mean, I think the idea of Hardline is interesting. I've signed up for the beta. I haven't gotten an invite yet. If I do, I'm definitely going to try it out. That does sound like an interesting game to me. But it was open first to, if you have Battlefield 4 on the PS4 or PC, you can get into the beta whenever you want.
Yeah.
And it is running at 1080p 60 FPS on PS4. So PS4 gets all the betas.
Yeah.
Yes. But let's see. Let's move on. You want to talk some Ubisoft?
Let's talk some Ubisoft.
Just Dance 2015.
Yep, I mean, that was a thing. That's what I wanted from Ubisoft. That's what I was most excited for. And, you know, I got it. I got to watch a bunch of tweens on stage with their smartphones dancing. So,
yeah, there's this new smartphone integration with Just Dance. I think that's weird.
I think that's a cool idea. Like, I don't fucking get it. I don't play dance games. But the idea that it's like, hey, like, you shouldn't have to, because, you know, it's not about the fucking game. It's just the only reason those dance games exist and are popular is because it's like you can have them at a party and it's enough to, like, prod people who usually wouldn't, like, just start dancing to just start fucking dancing and have fun. Like, that's the only thing it needs to be. If it's an app on your phone, it can do that just as well as buying, like, a $500 console, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what systems is Just Dance coming out for at this point? I'm not up on this at all.
I don't know. Okay. It was a Wii thing before, so I don't know. Like, I think it might just be the phone thing. Like, I think that might be the entirety of what Just Dance 2015 is. I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll see.
They danced.
More stuff from The Division.
Yeah, it was a really dark, again, like going back to, Oh, I should say, I was like going briefly to the Microsoft thing, how the beginning was really dark, because the Advanced Warfare trailer ends with a dude getting his arm cut off, and then the Assassin's Creed trailer ends with a first-person decapitation,
yep.
and then his head being hoisted on a spear, and then the camera turning around and pulling back and showing his head twitching, which is like, that's super fucking dark.
Yeah.
So now, going back to The Division, also, super dark fucking trailer, where it's like the trailer is like, there's a pandemic that has hit New York and everybody is dying and we're going to just play these sound, like, audio clips of a woman, like, singing a lullaby, and then you realize that slowly she's singing a lullaby because her fucking child has died and that's why she's singing this lullaby. And then, like, this whole, like, thing where this guy with, like, this really artsy trailer where it's, like, this guy, you only hear audio clips and you kind of see the environment, but, like, there aren't any, like, people in it, but you hear them talking and things being moved, and this whole, like, brief trailer shows the story of, like, this guy who, like, loses his girlfriend and then, like, he can't take the pressure of living in this post-apocalyptic world, so he fucking kills himself. It's like, video games! It's like holy fucking
and shit. Right after Just Dance 2015, too.
Yeah, exactly. They went from that into The Division. Super dark. Still looks like The Division.
Okay. Has any game with Tom Clancy's name in front of it been this, like, endlessly talked about? It feels like it's been a while since we've...
No, because I think it's also because it's, like, the first really new Tom... Like, what the fuck was the last new Tom Clancy...
I don't know.
...thing? Like, maybe Ghost Recon, which was, like, an Xbox franchise originally?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's. I think it's because it's a brand new... Like, it, you know, it has nothing to do with Tom Clancy, so...
Yes, he's dead, so that would be difficult.
Sure. I didn't want to, you know, bring the whole room down, but sure. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
In any case, so we got Tom Clancy's The Division. We've got The Crew, which still... I just like the idea of this because it's the whole United States. You can drive around it.
Yeah.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, was there anything new with this, really?
No, they basically said, like, the exact same stuff, only it's like, hey, we know we delayed it, and now it's actually coming out.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm looking forward to The Crew. I'm not guaranteed I'm going to buy that one, but it sounds fun. I think that could be a good racing game. We had more Assassin's Creed Unity. We've already talked about that. Shape Up for the Xbox One.
There were guys on stage and they did push-ups.
More Kinect talk at the Ubisoft conference than at the Microsoft conference.
Yeah, exactly. They showed an actual... And I should say, you know, it's as far as like fitness games go, the Shape Up thing actually seemed like it was really well done. Like, it seemed like... It would motivate people who don't usually work out and who are gamers that they might actually give it a shot. So.
But it also feels like Microsoft, like, you know, the Kinect is their baby. They just left it with their friend Ubisoft and skipped town.
Yeah.
It's Ubisoft's job now to raise this baby.
Like, Ubisoft is like the only person of like making Kinect games other than when Microsoft just sort of like resurrects Rare from the dead and forces them to do it.
Yeah. God, poor Rare.
Yeah.
All right. Valiant Hearts, The Great War.
Yeah. Again, so Ubisoft's press conference, a roller coaster fucking emotions, because it's like you have like Just Dance and then New York has been devastated by the most horrific pandemic in the history of mankind, and it's like, hey, like, fun workout game, and here's this game based on real letters from World War One telling this story of these soldiers, and it's a fucking fantastic trailer. Like, this trailer actually made me tear up, because it's like, the whole thing is you have this, like, old voice, like, narrating it, like, talking about, like, you know, back in the day and, like, telling, like, talking about all, like, these four characters or whatever that makes up this group. And this dog is there, and the dog's, like, with them the whole time. And then you slowly realize when you get to the end of the trailer that the person narrating it is the fucking dog who has been with them the whole time.
Oh, that's sad.
And that the dog is the only one who lives, because the last shot of the trailer is the dog standing in front of a mass fucking grave. Thing. It's like,
how is that a game? What?
I don't know what the gameplay is. It was the saddest fucking thing. Like, I just, after that happened, like, I just hit pause on the conference and I was like, oh my god, like, that is the saddest. I don't know what the game is. It is a super sad trailer. It's a great trailer. It's fucking, but they should not have put it right after the happy fucking fitness shit, because it was like, it looks awesome. Like, it's the same engine that makes the Rayman games and that Child of Light game, so it's like, visually, it's got a great sense of style, and it seems to like have like this powerful emotional core. I don't know what the gameplay is at all. Like, literally, they didn't show any like of like what the actual game was, but
you're the dog.
I'm gonna get it, because it's like,
you're a dog in the Great War.
Yeah, like, and it's like, you know, let's take, you know, like, the saddest war movie that ever exists and, like, fucking, like, Old Yeller and put it together, you know? Like, it's like...
All dogs go to Auschwitz.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
No.
That's not World War One. Okay.
Okay, I know it's not, but I just couldn't think of... Yeah. All dogs go to the trenches does not have the
all
same
dogs
ring to
go
it.
To the Battle of the Bulge. I don't know.
All right, Don Bluth, get on that. And we had this big Rainbow Six reveal, which people were excited about.
On stage. Yeah, and it was. And this is where, when I said earlier that I feel like myself and a lot of people are now catching on to Ubisoft's bullshit after 2 years, where it's like you had the Watch Dogs thing, and there was like Division last year was like, oh, this is a cool new gameplay thing. But it's like now it just feels like the Division is really far off and is still like. Like the Division demos this year still felt like super scripted demos, and this one was like, okay, this is just 100% absolutely so like a scripted multiplayer Rainbow Six thing where it was like first person shooter multiplayer match where they breach into this house. Like, it looked cool, but it also smelled like bullshit to me. So I don't know. I'm not a big Rainbow Six guy. I don't have a whole lot to say about it.
I don't give a shit about Rainbow Six, but...
Like, there was a lot of dudes shooting through walls. Yeah. And, like, it actually making holes. So that was the thing.
But hey, you know what? At the very least, Ubisoft has a shit ton of games. Yeah. I am going to buy...
It was a fucking hell of a conference. Like, especially following EA. Like, it was way better.
Okay. I think Ubisoft's got a good lineup. Whether or not I'm going to play all these games of my own will or not, you know, they look great. And it just looks like they've got a really good, solid lineup. And we'll talk about that a little more during the PS4 conference because that's where we heard about maybe the most exciting one.
Yeah. So that's good. Again, like, this was the one, like, I went through a real emotional experience.
Yes.
It's like, yay, dancing. Oh, pandemic. Yeah, fitness. Oh my god, this is one of the saddest things I've ever seen in trailer form.
All right, awesome. You want to talk Sony?
Let's talk Sony.
All right, I should say...
PlayStation.
For the first maybe 25 minutes of the PlayStation conference, it was really in and out for me because the Ustream... They fucking used Ustream, which sucks. It just didn't work. As far as I could tell, it was not working for most people. I finally... And it was just in and out, so I saw snippets of things. I missed the entire Order 1886 part. But I was finally able... Luckily, IGN had their own, you know, mirror stream through their proprietary media software, and it worked perfect. I should just remember...
Yeah, I watched the GameSpot stream, and it was... It started hitching up near the end, but I think that was more my internet than their stream. So.
Yeah, I don't always go to IGN for news or stuff, but their video content, when they stream stuff, it's solid, which is nice. But in any case, I did get to see the entire Destiny portion.
Yeah, in the beginning, there was Peter Dinklage.
That was a phenomenal trailer. Yeah, I loved that Destiny trailer.
Yeah, it was like more of like a sort of like story trailer than it was a gameplay trailer. But that's cool because we've gotten, I feel like, a lot of gameplay demos.
It gave
a lot of story stuff. You know?
It gave me a sense of, you know, gravitas and just atmosphere to Destiny that I hadn't really seen before. So I liked that. We also got a lot of details. The beta is coming July 17th exclusively to PlayStation.
Yep.
You're going to get a first look alpha on Thursday.
Yeah, for a few days, I think, too.
Yeah. You and I have both signed up for it. We haven't. We'll see what happens. Play. Yeah. I hope one of us gets into it. I would love to try that game out.
That'd be really cool.
And they announced a new SKU. So we're going to get a white PlayStation 4 with a white DualShock 4, and it'll have Destiny with it, and it ships on September 9th with Destiny.
Yeah.
So, white PS4.
Yeah, I think it's good that, you know, their variety of PlayStation 4 consoles is sort of racially inclusive, you know? But at least now we've got black and white, so, you know, not putting the white man down like they always have been, those sunny people.
God. All right. Yes. So, anything else to say about Destiny so far? I mean...
No, like, Destiny looks awesome, but...
PlayStation
like,
is all in on Destiny.
Yeah. It is, like, weird just how far they're pushing it. It is, like, sometimes I forget that it's a multi-platform game.
I do, too. Know? Because they keep announcing more exclusive stuff. So today we also learned at this conference that we would have there's going to be extra DLC and stuff for Destiny on day one. So it's a lot of stuff. It really does. It does feel genuinely like they are not, you know, just boasting when they say the best place to play it is on PlayStation.
Yeah.
It does have, you know, legitimately a lot more going for it there.
Yeah, it does. So. It's not just the like sticker on the front of like Watch Dogs. It's like 60 minutes of unique PlayStation 4 content, it's
which
like,
sucks. So
yeah, it's like it's just like. Four new extra side missions that are the same as every other side mission.
Yeah. All right. But out of Destiny, they did Order 1886, which is one of their really big titles they're pimping right now. I did not... I got to see brief snippets of this. Dude walks down a corridor. That's all I got out of it.
That's like more or less.
Okay. That's what it was? All right.
Yeah. It was like... I mean, yeah, that game just visually looks absolutely gorgeous, and it's going for a very interesting sort of like cinematic aesthetic. And yeah, I'm interested. I don't like it's not a game that I've like, you know, oh, I need it. I'm going to like put a pre-order on it. I need it so bad, but it's one I'm interested like to see the reviews of when it comes out.
No, I'm interested. I want to see what the reviews are, and it sounds cool that it's a new, game, new IP that is clearly using the power of the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, yeah, like I said, it like visually is fucking spectacular, so.
Yeah.
Cool demo.
All right. So, we're going to have a brief interlude here, because then we got the introduction to Entwined, which was the first of many parts of the show that talked about indie games. So, it's a small team of academic game designers, so pretty much students. Entwined, basically, if you haven't seen it so far, it's very colorful. It's a twin stick game. It looks very much like something that game company would make, yeah. But when you actually play it, it's a little different. And the coolest part of this, and honestly, this might be the reason, if I had to declare a winner, it would be Sony, because I thought this was such a cool move, is they announced Entwined. No one had ever heard about it before. We had gotten brief hints of it over the weekend, actually, because the trophy list went out. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it was the trophies themselves that leaked so much as it was just there was trophies for something. There was a listing. But they announced Entwined, and they said, you can go buy it right now. And I didn't go buy it right then because I was watching the stream. But as soon as the stream ended, I went to the PlayStation Store and bought Entwined for a couple of reasons. I thought it looked gorgeous. It looked like a cool game. It was only $10. And I just thought it was such a neat idea to say, you know, we've got this new game. You can go play it right now. For E3, that seemed pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's more than just, you know, new DLC or something. This is a game you can go get. And maybe I'll talk about Entwined in more depth on a future podcast because we don't have a ton of time here. It's a really, really good game. Cool. Expect going in, you know, that it is not... It's an indie game. It plays like an indie game.
Yeah.
If you like that game company games, it's a lot like that. This is not that game company, but it feels like Flower or Flow. Not so much Journey. Journey's kind of a different thing. But I like it more than those, in part because it does not use shitty motion controls. But I mean, it's really gorgeous. It doesn't really tell a story, but it kind of does in just terms of how it's got this simple aesthetic design. You play as, on the left stick, you're this orange fish. Right stick, you're this blue bird. They want to be together. They're apart.
Like a dragon.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that dragons were fish birds. But.
Right. Well, here's how you play it. So you've got each one is controlled by one of the sticks. They each go in a circle around half of the screen. And basically, you're going through. It looks almost like a much lower key, like Tempest 2000 or something.
Okay,
where,
sure, yeah.
You know, you are flying through these kind of. They've got patterns, and you have to match them while you're playing. It's really intuitive. It's really fun. It's got 9 levels. And I liked all the levels. It's pretty much the same thing each level. They add more challenge and new kind of ways to play it each time. But it follows a very similar format. Again, like, you know, if you've played Flower, you know every flower level is you go around and liberate the flowers. Yeah. And then you have this part at the end. It's that kind of thing. But, I mean, it's so gorgeous. It's one of the most gorgeous games I've ever looked at. I'm genuinely interested to see how they port this to the PS3 because just the color depth and everything is such a big part of this. And there's a lot of... There are parts with a lot of... You know, polygons on screen. So we'll see. It's a really, really cool game. It's not just, it was fun and it was really engaging as a game and as a set of mechanics, and it has a really good learning curve, I feel like, and difficulty curve. But it's also just, it's very relaxing. It's got this great tone and atmosphere. It feels a lot to me also like Proteus, which is one of my favorite games of the last few years, where it's just you get in this very meditative mood while playing it. And it's got easily my favorite game soundtrack of the year so far. The music, which I played a little bit of at the top of the show, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous soundtrack. It is definitely in the tradition of like that game company model of indie games. But, you know, more power to them. Those are great games. Yeah. So I like getting more of those. And Entwined, it's cool to me because Sony, you know, talks about a lot at this show, this conference, what they're doing with indie developers, how they are uniquely fostering indie developers, you know, what they have that other people don't. And they say, you know, we've got this Entwined game. This is something unique to PlayStation. You can play it right now. And what better way to prove your point? You know, I finished the show. I go play Entwined. I feel like everything they told me was true because that is direct evidence of it, which is that this is not a game I would play anywhere else. This is uniquely PlayStation. This is why I bought a PlayStation. I love having it for this kind of game. So... Really good. I definitely recommend it.
Cool.
Infamous Second Son standalone DLC.
Yes. Infamous First Light.
Yes. So it's with the character Fetch, played by Laura Bailey. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like it was just sort of a little CG trailer, but it seems like, you know, you can kind of infer what the game's going
to
be about.
Right. It's coming out in August. You don't have to have Infamous Second Son to play it either.
Yeah, kind of like that Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry thing. They did the same thing with that.
Yep. So a lot of people were comparing it to Far Cry Blood Dragon, but I feel like that's a bad comparison.
Yeah, that seems very different. Yeah. That's not... you can't compare anything to Far Cry Blood Dragon. Like, that's just... Yeah, that's... No.
But I liked Fetch a lot, and I liked Infamous Second Son, so I'm excited for some new content in that. But then the first really big reveal of the conference was Little Big Planet 3.
Yeah, which just, like, kind of, like, happened. Like, I feel like I, like, blinked and was like, what? Oh my god, they're playing Little Big Planet 3. What the fuck? What did that?
I actually kind of liked that. I thought it was cool
that it was just like, they're just like, yeah, fuck it. We're just playing this game. Like, we're just going to play this co-op game. And we're going to be really, really awkwardly bad at playing it. But we're just playing this game.
But you know what? I thought that was endearing on the level of, it was a true demo. They were just playing it. It wasn't scripted or anything. It was
that one person couldn't wall jump. No, they couldn't. It was like, that guy missed like this really easy jump. And it's like, just fucking give me the controller.
Yes. Well, that will be a feature on the PlayStation
exactly,
in the future.
Yeah, they should have demoed it that way.
But hey, this is good. It's coming out this year. Yeah. Sony needed a big, nice, you know, first-party IP coming out this year. So I'm glad they have Little Big Planet 3. I've not played a Little Big Planet game before. I will probably jump in with this one. Part of what's cool about it, as Shuhei Yoshida himself came out to announce,
when he was on stage,
all of the user-created levels for 1 and 2 are going to be available on this also. Yeah. I don't know how they did that, but that's cool.
Yeah, that seems cool. Like, I'm not way into, like, I don't particularly like platformers, and I'm not way into, like, the user-generated thing, so I was not interested, but it seems like it's a cool game for people who are into that.
So, definitely. All right.
But as you said, now here is, for me, this was one of my favorite announcements, because this was also, you know, yeah, motherfucking Shuhei Yoshida on stage. He should have been out there more, but, so he's on stage, and he announces a game that has been kind of leaked a little bit, known as Project Beast from Software, which is the studio who makes like the Souls games, so Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, and Dark Souls 2. And so then they start playing this trailer, and at the top of the trailer it says directed by Hidetaki Miyazaki, who is the guy who was the lead like game designer on Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, but was not on Dark Souls 2. So he is the game director for this new game. That, again, it was previously known as Project Beast. Now we know it's called Bloodborne, and they showed this CG trailer, which looked fucking awesome. Like, you know, the Dark Souls games, like, it's very much seems like in that style of, like it's a sort of weird Victorian post-apocalyptic kind of universe thing, but it's still, like, identifiably Dark Souls-y to me, and it looks fucking cool, so.
Is this a PS4 exclusive?
Yes, okay. I believe so.
That's a big
get. I'm pretty sure Sony's funding it, so.
That feels like a pretty big get for them.
Yeah, yeah, like, and so, man, if this, that, because, you know, like, Dark Souls 2 was pretty good, but ultimately disappointing to me. If this is, like, a proper, like, spiritual sequel to Dark Souls, and it's really awesome, that's, like, a huge exclusive for me, so.
Yeah, but, fuck all of that. Yeah, Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
As
just coming out this November, which is, like, what? I had no... Like, maybe that was announced before when, like, the box art came out.
I was surprised you didn't know that.
I had no idea. Like, all of... Because, I mean, all the fucking stuff about the box art was everyone, like, calling it racist when it's like, you have no idea anything about the context of this image. Like, how can you assert it's racist? But, yeah, I had no idea that it was coming out this year. And that's awesome. Like, how was everyone not talking about, like, Far Cry 3? It wasn't just me. Like, most of the gaming press agreed Far Cry 3 was easily one of the best games of 2012. How is not everyone going, like, holy fucking shit, it's coming out this year? Because it was announced this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, hey, and you know what? This is one of the best gameplay teasers I think we've ever seen.
Yeah, the fucking demo was awesome. So at Ubisoft, they had a small, like, I mean, not that small, like, 5 minute, basically what seemed like it was the opening cutscene of the game, basically, which is sort of conceptually very similar to the opening of Far Cry 3, where you have this, like, white dude who's moving into this sort of, like, kind of exotic location, and then he encounters this crazy psychopath dude. Only this time the psychopath is voiced by Troy Baker, and that was cool, like, cool setup. And then, but then the Sony had this, like, very long gameplay demo, which, if, like, you know, if you played Far Cry 3 and you thought Far Cry 3 was fucking awesome, Far Cry 4 looks like it's the same brand of fucking awesome. So
only more of it, because elephants, motherfucker.
Exactly. Elephants, like, grappling hook thingy, big-ass goddamn, like, LMG. Yeah.
It's cool.
Looked fucking awesome. Like, I immediately pre-ordered that as soon as I saw it, so.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, so Far Cry 4, definitely, I will absolutely play that. I am psyched for it. That was a great gameplay trailer. And it's got Troy Baker.
Yeah,
because if we don't have a Troy Baker game like every month, why are we gamers, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, what is the human species doing if Troy Baker's not in every video game?
Yes. All right. So this is the part of the show where they started mixing it up a little bit. For instance, here they talked about how PlayStation 4 gamers, you know, you'll be able to invite other players to join their game online, even if their friends don't own the game, with the Far Cry 4 thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool. I don't even know how that works.
Yeah,
but
I have no idea how that works either, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of neat. Then we got the CGI trailer for Dead Island 2.
Sure, like I was happy that they went for a tone that is more achievable than... Did you ever see the original Dead Island trailer, which was like the girl who, like, zombie who fell out of the window and, like, the trailer plays backwards with sad piano music?
No.
It is, like, one of the greatest trailers I have ever seen. It is so sad, but it is, like... I never played Dead Island, but Dead Island is not the game that trailer was made for. Like, it's really clear. So yeah. This trailer was, like, kind of funny and weird and more kind of in keeping with the tone of what the series seems to be. I've never played them, but no, it seems like it's probably a good game. I don't know.
It was a decent little trailer. Nothing. Yeah. Some people loved it. I wouldn't go that far or anything, but sure. We'll see. They talked about some exclusives about Disney Infinity on the PlayStation.
Yeah, Hulk.
Hulk will be there. Friendly. Yeah, I don't exclusive. Care about Disney Infinity, but whatever.
I care about Hulk, so
yeah. Magica 2.
That was a really funny trailer.
That was a really good Magica. Trailer. Yeah. I don't even know what Magica is, but that's
like
neat.
A PC co-op yeah. thing, I think.
Yeah. Everyone was excited about this, and I've never heard of this game. What's Grim Fandango, Sean?
So everyone was excited because it's a Tim Schafer adventure game. But I think it's like one of the handful of those. Like Monkey Island is like that was also one of his. Like Grim Fandango, I think has never been remade in any real capacity. So, like having access to it is very difficult. So, it's you know it's a adventure game from that era in like the 90s when people had like thought adventure games was like okay. a good genre.
All right, well it's
not,
coming to
like adventure games are awful.
It's going to PS4 and Vita, so cool.
Yeah,
I guess
I don't know. I it's not necessarily something for me because I think those games don't age very well. Even though like Tim Schafer, I think is a great sort of like writer and stuff, and I think his games are funny. It's like the actual game. It's just obtuse at some point, so...
Yeah. Seems well, cool. Then we got into a big indie kind of block yeah. of things. And we had a whole series of previews from Devolver Digital.
Yeah.
And, man, this was the part of the conference where I liked every one of those Devolver Digital mini-trailers. Yeah. Those all look like good games to me.
Yeah, you had, like...
That just seems cool. Yeah.
Top it all off, the sequel to your Game of the Year of 2013, which was a game
it was
that came
not
out
my game of the year. It was number five on the list.
Oh, sure, yeah. One of your games of the year of 2013 of a game that came out in 2012,
came
sequel
out,
of which
came
is
out on the platform I played it
Hotline
on.
Hotline Miami 2, wrong number.
I am excited for that yeah, game a yeah, whole awesome. Fuck of a lot. Yeah. All right, then
so
we
Devolver
had,
Digital Games, like the thing there also is that they will come first on like console launch exclusive or whatever, like their weird term, the console debut yeah. exclusive on PS4.
Right. But those look, they all looked like really, they were effective little mini trailers because yeah. they all got me interested in just the basic premise of these little indie games, and I thought that was neat. So we had all of those. We had Suda51, they're making a new game
called
Let
It
Die.
Yeah. Just couldn't tell a whole lot of what that was from the trailer. I don't play a lot of Suda51 games. People yeah. really think I guess he has like a really neat creative voice. So
yeah, but then the next two reveals were this was my favorite part
yeah,
of the whole show.
Yeah, definitely.
We had the designer of Journey and the composer of Journey. Yeah. They've got this new studio, Giant Squid, or what's it called?
Yeah,
Giant Squid, and they're making a game called Abzu. And that trailer was so gorgeous. I just cannot wait for that game.
Yeah. Like it's definitely you know, like you were talking about, like with Entwined, it seems like is in that kind of like realm of indie game. Or Journey, obviously, is another comparison point. And yeah, that's Journey is a fucking masterpiece. So
yes, but game of the show for me and I think for a lot of people is No Man's Sky. It's this procedurally generated exploration through all of space and time, apparently. Not
well,
time, but all
space.
Yeah, but it is, I mean, it's just you can't overstate how big their ambitions for this are.
Yeah.
You start on this planet, you're exploring the planet. If you were just on the planet, that would be enough for one game, it looks like. But then you get in a ship and you're out in space and you're going through asteroid fields, and then you go to another planet and you can explore that planet, and then the guys come out and talk about the game, and it's only four dudes developing this
fucking
game.
Yeah, like, it's this really tiny, like, Hello Games is this very small studio, and they're, like, a small team in that small studio.
Yeah, and yet it's this massive, infinite, procedurally generated world that will be different for every player. It sounds so cool.
Yeah, like, it's definitely... I mean, they showed this game last year at E3, and it looked awesome then. Like, this was a little more substantial of a demo, and it still looks really cool. Like, there's a part of me that is a little bit sort of cynical about, like, the capacity to achieve that, and it actually, like, in execution being as cool as it is in your imagination. But, you know, tank, like, it's still a really awesome idea, and I really, really hope they pull it off, because that would be yeah, that would be like one of the best games ever.
Look, if it's just Proteus and you could just explore space, I'm good with that. That's enough for me. If it looks like it's more than that, though. But if it was just you got to go and explore and look at stuff, and that was the game, and it was just kind of this infinite, that would be enough for me. So we'll see. Obviously, there's more to it than that. So yeah. I'm excited. Let's see. Then they talked about Project Morpheus a very brief amount. They were basically just saying that they will have demos on the show floor.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is so far away from it being an actual product that, I didn't even necessarily think they would mention it at all.
Yeah. So. They did a kind of surprisingly long bit about free-to-play games.
Yeah, where they're like, free-to-play games are like the future, and it's like, they kind of probably are, but maybe in a not cool way.
They're
and
all pretty shitty.
Sure, yeah, and it's like,
also, Hearthstone is fun.
Yeah. But that's also, like, I don't know, it's a trading card game, so I don't even think of it as being free-to-play. It's just a trading card game.
So they talked a lot about free-to-play, but then this is where we got into, this is where they kind of were mixing things up, talking about more than just games. This was an interesting part of the show to me. PlayStation Now, they announced it's going to have open beta for everyone on July 31st. PS4 to start. They'll bring it out to PS3 Vita later on.
It'll be streaming PS3 games at first. Yep.
So we'll see. I hope that works. I'm interested to see what
cool
it is.
Cool idea for a service. I hope the latency is low enough to make it feasible.
Then they talked about Vita briefly. I do wish there would have been more Vita at this conference.
Yeah. Like they talked about Vita about as much as they've talked about Vita for the past 3 years of there are games, they're coming out on the Vita. We're not going to show them or talk about them, but
But here's the thing. The Vita has really better support than anyone says about it.
Yeah, it's the Vita is a great machine, but it's also but nobody's making, almost nobody is making unique titles for it at this point.
Yeah.
It's all, its value is in developing a backlog of titles, and then it's a functionality in concert with the PS4.
Yeah, or, and even if a lot of the indie titles that come out to Vita are coming out to those other systems too, it's the Vita has a steady stream of really good games coming out for it, and I think Sony needs to pitch that message a little bit more. Like they said, over 100 Vita titles are in development today, and that was their big statement. What they need to say is, over 100 Vita titles are in development today, and every week and every month we've got new titles coming out to the Vita that are good and quality, and they're not all Uncharted Golden Abyss. But in many cases, they're probably better than that. You know, it's interesting to me.
Oh, when you said they're not all Uncharted Golden Abyss, I thought you were saying this most of them are probably good games because Uncharted Golden Abyss is an awful piece of shit.
Okay.
I took that the opposite of what you're trying to say.
I just meant that they're not big like that.
Sure,
Uncharted Golden Abyss is a blockbuster.
Sure.
It's not necessarily good, but it's...
Yeah, it's a trip blockbuster the same way Transformers 2 is.
Okay, sure. But, what I said was true. But anyway, that's all. I think Vita, I think there's a lot of benefits to Vita. They could just slightly adjust their message there and try to pitch that a little more. If you have a PS3 or a PS4, you should have a Vita. It is a great tool to have in concert with those systems.
Not even
for stuff like remote play. It's just cool stuff if you want to play, for instance, Fez just came out on all three. And you can, play it on PS4 and it's got this great cross-save compatibility, and if you want to play it somewhere else you take your Vita and you can keep playing Fez, and a lot of games are like that, so that's cool. Let's see, PlayStation, this was one of my favorite announcements. The PlayStation TV, which in Japan when it was announced last year was the PlayStation Vita TV, it's coming to America, ships for $99, but there will be a bundle that'll be $140 that'll come with a memory card and
controller.
A DualShock 3 and it'll also come with a Lego movie game.
And an HDMI cable.
If you don't know what the Vita TV is, it's just this little kind of set-top box. It can play all your Vita games, which means it can also play all your PSP and PS1 classic games.
Yeah.
It can also stream remote play all your PS4 games. So it's there. They were pitching it more here as an extension of your PS4 and of the PlayStation brand than they were the Vita. But I want it for the Vita stuff. I've already put my pre-order on this.
Oh, cool.
I'm excited for this. Yeah. I might have to go do that bundle, though, because I was just thinking, if it doesn't come with a memory card, I might as well do the bundle and just get the fucking memory card.
Sure, yeah.
But we'll see. I want to know if I can just put my memory card from the Vita in there.
Yeah, it's the same memory card.
Okay, then I don't need another memory card for it.
Yeah, no, of course you don't.
Okay,
It comes bundled. The bundle comes with a Vita memory. It's just a Vita memory card.
Right, okay. Well, and if you... This was kind of interesting. The PlayStation TV in the US is black. In Japan, it was white.
Yeah, again, there's some weird race stuff going on with Sony. I don't understand.
All right. Then we got gameplay footage from Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah.
It was violent.
It's Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
I'm not way into Mortal Kombat, but that was Mortal Kombat. They
Mortal
punched each
Kombat.
Other and bones were broken and They're like two dudes who look the same, but their color palettes were different because okay. that was an easy way to make multiple characters in the 90s.
Yep. All right. Was it now when we got the big powers monologue?
Yeah, now is when they shifted into TV.
Talk about this, Sean.
Okay, sure. So, yeah. So, Powers, let's just start there. Powers is a graphic novel series. I think it's published by Image, where it's Brian Michael Bendis is the writer. I can't remember the artist's name. For those who don't know Brian Michael Bendis, for me, significantly, he's the writer for Ultimate Spider-Man, and so I think he's a really, really good comic book writer. And Powers is the series where the basic premise of it is it's sort of like this unique superhero universe, and the main characters are these guys who are detectives, and they solve cases revolving with people who have superpowers. And so if, like, they find some, like, you know, basically if, like, Superman somehow got killed on the street and his body was found in an alleyway, these are the people who would investigate that crime. And so that's the premise. I've only read a couple of volumes of Powers, but it's really cool. I've always been meaning to, like, pick up the series again. It's a really cool idea. I think it's a really cool execution. And so this announcement was basically they brought Brian Michael Bendis out on stage to talk about how basically last year at E3, Sony was like, hey, we're going to make unique, like, video content for people to, like, Sony people in our Sony ecosystem. This is the first announcement of an actual project out of that. And it seems like they're like well into production with it since it's going to be coming out in December. And so Brian Michael Bendis was out there, and he basically took like 10 minutes to say, we're making Powers, and it's a TV show, and it will be like, you can see it for free if you're a PS Plus subscriber.
Yeah, this is interesting. So it sounds like they're trying to do what Netflix has done, what yeah. Amazon Instant Video has done, where they're going to make their own original programming. This is a little different, though, because PlayStation Plus is not a streaming service.
Yeah.
So, but it'll have original TV. I'm curious about this. I understand that Powers is a good comic book series.
Yeah, like, I'm just interested in it from, like, the perspective of, like, I just want to see a Powers TV show. Like, I don't okay. know anything about, like, the Sony shit.
I just don't expect it's going to be good. The yeah. people, he talked about the people they have working on it. Those do not sound like particularly talented, creative people. I don't know. We'll see. So few of what I think Amazon, Netflix, and everyone else who is not a TV company has been doing has been good. Netflix has Orange is the New Black, and House of Cards is horribly overrated, and Amazon has nothing good, and Hulu has nothing good. So it's like, I don't know if Sony can really break out of that. Sony at least is a production company on some level. They make movies and TV yeah. shows. So maybe this will be good if it's at the level of some other Sony productions, you know. But we'll see. They just, yeah. they talked way too damn long about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they showed concept art. Like, you just don't,
yeah.
you don't do that, man. Like, you should, like, when you announce this thing, and I get it's just because it was too early. It's like, you maybe shouldn't have really, like, spent too much time on it. It's like, you needed to show something from the show. Like, if you're going to do this, you had to show at least, like, a minute of, like, a trailer or something. Like, you need, like, you can't just have Brian Michael Bendis walk out on stage at a gaming conference and spend, like, 10 minutes talking about the TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they talked about Ratchet and Clank the movie.
Yeah.
Why are they making a Ratchet and Clank the movie?
I don't know.
It looks horrible. It
basically seems like it's a fucking, like, DreamWorks movie anyways.
I guess. We'll see. And I like Ratchet and Clank games okay, but it's like...
I never really played them, so...
Yeah. But it was funny. When they started showing the preview for Ratchet and Clank the movie, I tweeted, I don't really give a shit about Ratchet and Clank movie. If they announced a game, that would be neat. But then right afterwards, they're like, and we're remaking the original Ratchet and Clank for PS4. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'll play that. I don't care about the movie, but I would like... That sounds interesting to me.
Sure.
So, oh well. Then they got back into games.
Yes.
A big trailer for The Last of Us Remastered on PS4 coming out July 29th, and it had a lot of spoilers. People were weirdly angry about that, I thought.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know, like if I thought everybody played that fucking game at this point.
Yeah, and it also, they said
the fucking trailer. Yeah, like the trailer even said, like, yeah. hey, there's spoilers. It's like,
and also, there was nothing in that trailer where if you had not played Last of Us, you would have that experience ruined. There was
yeah,
nothing.
Exactly. Like you did, there was nothing in. It wasn't like they showed like this complete uncut scene that like yeah. gave you like this tremendous amount of context for like everything.
Yeah.
It was a trailer.
Yeah,
you know, it was like, you know, you can show like you could show the last like 5 seconds of a movie in a trailer, and nobody would have any idea until they see the movie. It's like, it's not a spoiler if you don't have any context for what it is.
Yeah. So, you know, they could have done it differently, but also Last of Us, they, you know, this is the game of the last generation. They want to celebrate it yeah. for this package. It makes sense. I am so stoked to get my hands on this just to see it in that quality. I mean, just seeing, I didn't, on the stream, obviously it was in super low quality, but when yeah. I watched it afterwards, just that 1080p at 60 frames per second, It looks substantially different, and that's cool. Yeah. I still am not going to pay $60 for it out of the gate.
Yeah, but they haven't talked about pricing stuff. I really hope there's an upgrade.
Yeah. Because I would like to play it again, and I'd like to play it with those graphics, because that sounds really neat. Like, some people were even commenting, you know, oh, this doesn't look like a movie anymore, though, because of the high frame rate. And I'm like, it's fine. It's going to look like a smoother movie. It's fine.
Sure, it's going to play a lot better.
Yeah, so I'm excited. And you get to use the DualShock 4 with it, finally.
Yes.
All right. Then we had a big Metal Gear Solid 5 teaser, and I just... How do they even market Metal Gear at this point? Because if you haven't played every fucking game, there's nowhere to go in for you.
Sure,
I don't get it. I would love to start playing Metal Gear Solid games, but at the minimum, to play 5, I would have to play Peace Walker on the PSP, play Ground Zeroes, then play the Phantom Pain, and I would probably still be missing too much.
Although I don't think that many people played Peace Walker, and I think everybody played Ground Zeroes, so...
But a lot of people commented that it was really unintelligible if you didn't play Peace Walker. And
but
they
that's why they
full...
put in, like, apparently, like, an 11-page, like, novella.
Right. You shouldn't have to do that. That's, you know...
It's like, I'm keeping up with Metal Gear Solid by just reading Wikipedia summaries. I've never played a minute of any of their games. I'm fine. I know what happened in the trailer.
All right. I mean, it's a good-looking trailer and everything. Yeah. So here's my question. Have they confirmed this or not? I wanted to ask you. Ground Zeroes was on everything. It was totally multi-platform. Yeah.
This is multi-platform. This is on everything, too.
No, I know. But is it also on PS3 and 360 still?
Oh.
That's what I was asking.
Maybe.
I would not expect it, because it's such a big game, it sounds like. But
yeah, like, maybe. But I would say probably not, but maybe.
Like, I know this is PS4, Xbox One, but is it next-gen exclusive or what? Because it does not look like they could put this game on 360 or PS3, but yeah.
Yeah. So...
You're looking shit up.
Oh, they're looking up shit up, too.
Actually, my internet's off, so you look it up.
Okay, I'll look it up.
I'm conserving battery power for the podcast.
All right, what's the next thing to talk about, then, while I look this up, Jonathan?
Well, GTA 5, coming to Next Gen, indeed.
How excited for you are that?
You know, I'm going to give it another try on this. I've been watching my little brother started playing the game. When I say little brother, it sounds like my 10-year-old brother is playing GTA 5. He's not. That'd be terrible.
Yeah, it's your 8-year-old brother is playing. No.
My younger brother is 19. He's old enough to play GTA. But I would like to get in on this, just because I do like playing GTA 5, at least for, you know, the dicking around. And there's a lot of the campaign I do like. And I do like the idea of playing it with the better graphics, especially because when I played this, it was the digital version on PS3, which is notably inferior in just about every way to the other versions. Disc-based versions, I should say. So I would like to be able to see the game in its full glory. And it looked even better than I was maybe expecting.
Yeah, like,
the
upgrade's pretty significant when I've, like, looked at some of the, like, direct comparisons and stuff. And it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I've... Again, like, it's not something that I want to pay $60 for. But if they, if that upgrade thing... If that's the thing that they will keep on doing that they did when the console launched... Like, I would probably pay, like, up to $40 to upgrade it. Because I do want to play... Grand Theft Auto 5 again. And I mostly want to be able to just, if I want to, drop into Grand Theft Auto 5 and just mess around without having to load up my 360 and do that, you know?
Definitely. And I thought this was a pretty big reveal for Sony to get, because that's a big game that's coming to next gen in terms of re-releases. Yeah. So that was cool. If you are one of the 10 people still playing GTA Online, you can transfer your 360 and PS3 saves.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's something they needed to do, and it's good that they're doing it.
Yeah. So what do you have on Metal Gear?
It is. According to Wikipedia, at least, it is coming out on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One.
All right, interesting. Okay.
Also, apparently, Big Boss is also sometimes referred to as both Punish Snake and Venom Snake, and I did not know that.
We are getting to the end of the show. Batman Arkham Knight had a big demo, and I thought this was fantastic. It really sold me on the idea of bringing the Arkham games to next gen, because it was just so much bigger. Yeah. Batman seemed so much more powerful and kind of awe-inspiring, and then when he got in the Batmobile, that was fantastic. I was watching this at this point on my... I had plugged it into my desk speaker system, and the subwoofer was just in overdrive on that. And then I thought the Scarecrow reveal at the end was really cool. Some of that stuff.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think graphically it looks really, really good. And I love those Arkham games, so...
Yeah.
Like, I've already seen some of the other footage, so it's like nothing was really a huge surprise about the gameplay footage, but it looks as good as it always did, so...
And to end the trailer, and or to end the conference, and I think this was a pretty effective way to do it, we had the teaser trailer for Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. And, you know, I've never played an Uncharted game, but that trailer was really good, I thought.
Yeah, it was a good trailer. And it sort of, you know, confirmed some things where it is Nathan Drake is the main character, where that was not explicit in the teaser trailer they showed before. And yeah, it was a good trailer. Like, I have my qualms about the franchise, but I do really like the Uncharted games. In particular, I like the story and I like the characters. And it's a huge relief to me that it's like, I don't know, I felt like there's so much coded into that trailer of like, this is the last one.
Right.
It's like, it's called Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. And like the entire dialogue that the trailer has going on, sort of like the background, is Nathan talking to Sully and being like, "Come on, man, let's just do this one last time." So he's like, "Ah, fuck it, okay, one more time, Nathan." It's like, "All right, like I will do it. I will buckle in for one more Uncharted. After this, I don't think they can do it anymore. It doesn't seem like they plan on it."
I think that's really cool and interesting, is that they are very clearly pitching this from the moment they've introduced it now. I know they had announced they were working on Uncharted before, but the moment we see anything from the game, it's, this is it, this is the last one. They are putting all their cards on the table right off the bat with that. And I think that's cool. That definitely, how rare is that in games at this point to know this is, I mean, Arkham Knight is actually going to be the same way. They've announced the end. Like,
well, at least for Rocksteady's
right.
take on the Batman trilogy or whatever, like, very specific way WB has had that phrase.
Right. But, you know, so that's cool to me. And it'll free up Naughty Dog to do more in the future, but it sounds neat that they'll get to do at least one of these in the next-gen space.
Yeah.
Because, I'm definitely, though, it made me want to go back and play at least Uncharted 2 and 3 to kind of get up to speed on that. I know you don't have to, like, it's not a plot-heavy series in that way.
It's like Indiana Jones in the sense it's like, It's nice to know the characters, but you don't need to.
Yeah. But I don't need to play Uncharted 1, right?
No, I would not. I don't recommend it.
All right. Very good game. Sony conference.
Yes.
Good, bad, what was it?
The guy with the gun. It's good, I thought.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was too long.
It was too long. It had, it's sort of, and this is like, you know, Microsoft, their conference aired on Spike, so it had to be very trim and to the point, and I think that really helped their conference. And Sony is, at the end of the day, they're not on TV, so like their conferences are always kind of bloated, and it would have been nice if they had cut out some of the fat. But I did, like, if you take out some of like the fatigue I felt in their conference, I think their conference was the most interesting. I thought they had the most interesting games there. Like, I'm way more excited for Far Cry 4 than I am for Assassin's Creed Unity. I'm way more excited for Destiny than I am for Call of Duty. I'm way more excited for Project Beast or Bloodborne than I am for anything that Microsoft should, then almost maybe like anything out the show if it lives up to its potential. Like, I think Order looks really cool. I think Uncharted 4 is like a game I'm interested in, so yeah.
I thought they had a bunch of those great AAA games, but also I think
No Man's Sky, like their indie stuff was great.
Yeah, their continuing commitment to indie games and the indie games we saw was just really cool. And again, they announced Entwined, it looked awesome, and you could go play it right away.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And at the end of the day, even if they spent way too much time talking about it, I want to see a Powers TV show. I have no idea if it's going to be good, but I don't have to pay money to find out if it's going to be good. I just have to wait for them to make it and then watch an episode.
All right, sounds good. So, yes, that's the first day of E3. Let's talk a little bit here about Nintendo, which went the next morning, but not via a press conference in the way the other guys did. This was a Nintendo digital event.
Oh, like, did they not call it Nintendo Direct? Did they call it?
They did not. They called it their Nintendo Digital Event. I think
you should call it the Nintendo Indirect.
Yes, Nintendo Indirect. So let's talk about this, Sean.
All right. I should say, like, I guess neither of us watched it. Like, actually watched the event, right?
Yeah, I followed it live. We've watched some of the videos. Why don't I take us through some of the major pieces of news, and then we'll pick it apart. So Nintendo, they started off, obviously, as they would. They talked about Smash Bros. A little bit. They talked more about the 3DS version. I know for the 3DS game, they talked about some new game modes. They also announced it's coming out in October.
Yeah, so
they just talked about 3DS a little bit, the Smash Bros. For that. Still looks like they're just going to be called Smash Bros. For 3DS and Smash Bros. For Wii U, which, that's horribly uncreative, Nintendo. Be creative.
What has happened to people with names?
I know.
Like, what is this? Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Smash Brothers for the 3DS. Fuck you.
Yeah. All right.
Put a fucking name on your game.
Nintendo is taking some cues from Skylanders. They're making Amiibo figures. Amiibo figures, if you didn't get that. Have you not read about this yet?
I know about like the figurine stuff, but I've never heard. What is an Amiibo?
It's the Nintendo figurine. Amiibo? Yeah, it's A-M-I-I-B-O. And it's like you've got a Mario Amiibo. It's like a little figurine. You put it on your gamepad, and then Mario comes into the game. And it's
like, what is Amiibo? Like, what is that? What is it supposed to be? Like, is it supposed to be like Amigo? Is that what?
I don't know.
What the fuck is that? Amiibo? Like, what is it? I want to know. Like, where did they pull that out of their ass?
So who knows? So it's Skylanders. It's Disney Infinity. They're going to have support for that in Smash Bros. Wii, and they will have support for it in Mario Kart 8 at some point. They announced the next Yoshi game, which will be called Yoshi's Woolly World. It's coming out in 2015, I believe, on the 3DS.
It seems like it's going to be like
Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah, Kirby's Epic Yarn, only with Yoshi.
Yeah.
So if you're 2 years old.
Yep. And I thought this was a cool one. This is a game I'm looking forward to. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. If you've played Super Mario 3D World, there are these Captain Toad levels where they're like these little puzzle levels with Captain Toad that make pretty fun use of the gamepad and stuff. That's being expanded to a full game. That sounds interesting to me. They then announced their new Zelda game. They showed some stuff. It was basically Eiji Onuma, the leader of the Zelda series since Majora's Mask. He was talking about it. We'll go into that later.
Yeah.
They announced Bayonetta 2 is a Wii U exclusive.
We've known about that for like 2 years.
But when it comes out, it'll be paired with a remake or a re-release of the original Bayonetta.
Okay, sure.
Hyrule Warriors, if you haven't heard about that, that's the Dynasty Warriors game with some Hyrule characters thrown in. That's coming out this year on September 26th. Kirby is getting a new game himself, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, in 2015. Then they've got a new Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah, that's the game they showed for like the past 2 years, but haven't showed anything.
I know, it's kind of disappointing. Then the big announcement here, this was a poorly kept secret, it's Mario Maker, where you can make your own custom 2D Mario levels. It's for the Wii U. I was kind of wondering if it was going to be for the 3DS, but it is a Wii U game. You'll use the gamepad and the touchscreen capabilities to build Mario levels. That sounds kind of fun. They'll have Splatoon, which is this 8-player, 4-on-4 action online game. You cover people in ink. It sounds kind of fun. It's like a little, you know, you've got your territories and you fight and whatnot. It seems like a, I don't know, the Nintendo version of a, you know, online multiplayer shooter or something.
Oh, and that doesn't sound... That sounds awful.
Yeah, probably. But people said when they... I did not get to watch the video for this, but everyone in the room or watching it, all the journalists, were enthusiastic about it. They said it looked interesting. And then they announced a new character for Super Smash Bros. They chose to end their whole conference on announcing the character Palutena for Super Smash Bros. Yeah, Wii U.
The goddess Palutena.
Yeah.
From the Kid Icarus games.
Yes, so... If you don't know who Palutena or Kid Icarus is, don't worry. You are a... That just makes you a person, I think, right?
Yeah, that makes you a respectable human being.
They had a cool little anime thing for this, though. I liked that video.
Yeah, that was a cool little anime thing, but it was also just like, kind of like, well, that's not...
A character.
It seems like a weird thing to put so much effort into making this little animated, like, 1 minute video.
Yeah.
To announce you're putting in, like, the least interesting... most dull character from, like, the worst Nintendo franchise you could possibly conjure up.
You know what they... You know who they still haven't fucking announced for Smash Bros.?
Waluigi.
Why has Waluigi never been in a goddamn Smash Bros. Game?
Because he's, like, the... I mean, okay, he is the least interesting, most non-character from, like, the best Nintendo franchise.
Yeah, but he's the only one they haven't put in there yet. So, I feel like Waluigi should be above Palutena.
Yeah, but I think Birdo is above all of those.
Yeah, where's Birdo? Exactly. I didn't thought of that. Birdo's the best.
Fuck yeah.
Birdo.
All of her attack is just like shooting an egg, but...
You know what pisses me off in Mario Kart 8? There's a lot of stuff that pisses me off in Mario Kart 8. They put in all 8 of the Koopa kids in that game. All 8, and they still don't have Birdo.
What?
What the fuck that? Where's Birdo?
That would be so... How fucking hilarious would it be if, like, all the rest of the new characters of Smash Brothers were just all the Koopa kids, and they were the same character with different skins?
I want it to be, like, one massive ice climber where you control all 8 at once.
Yeah, it's just, like, this huge line...
All right. So, Sean, what sticks out to you from Nintendo? Let's start with Zelda, because...
Yeah, I mean, that's the only one of the things that were said that interests me in any way.
They barely showed
anything
from it.
Although, I will say, just the word Amiibo, that really sort of, like, piques my curiosity.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll be disappointed when I look into that a bit more, but...
They showed very, very little from Zelda. We got one screenshot for a while, and then a little bit of video footage. Mostly, it was Aonuma talking about their philosophy for this game... And it's basically, it's like...
Open world.
Yeah, it's open world.
Skyrim, Zelda, which, you know,
they needed to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's so... It is like, you know, again, like, this is... It's hard to really talk about it because it's like, it was them saying, this is going to be an open world Zelda, and then showing in the background an image of Link on Epona in the middle of a giant field. And it's like, it was a big field with a huge view distance, but, like, that's not... anything to basically, like, judge the game on. So, it's like, Zelda has needed to be shaken up since Ocarina of Time, really. Like, every Zelda that at least I played, all the 3D ones since Ocarina of Time, just feel like they are so attached to what Ocarina of Time was, because Ocarina of Time was such an amazing game that they couldn't, like, sort of move beyond it and do something different, do something new, do something creative with the franchise. And so, like, you know, if making it open world allows that to happen, I mean, but the thing is, like, Zelda was already, like, it's always been open world, and it was, like, I guess they're saying we're going to make it more open world. Like, it very specifically sounded like they wanted to make it Skyrim Zelda to me.
Well,
like,
let me say...
The wording they used.
Let me say one thing. They did do this recently on A Link Between Worlds, which came out on the 3DS last year. I don't know if you would call that open world, because it is this top-down perspective.
I mean,
perspective,
yeah, it's the world as Link to the Past was.
Well, except you can do the dungeons in any order.
Sure, I mean, that's...
But you haven't played the game. Everyone I've talked to who's played that game, and every review I've heard of that game, said that was a big deal for that game. Okay, that game was different than other Zelda games. It was hugely acclaimed. Everyone was noting that it felt a lot more exciting than recent Zelda games, even being, like, you know, clearly based on Link to the Past, allowing for this kind of, you could do it in whatever order you want, and it was much more open in that sense. That did make a difference, and I assume that's the main thing they're talking about here, is that it's going to be, I still think it's probably going to be ordered in a certain way, because Zelda games are just done like that. They are more narrative heavy than a Skyrim, which is more built around your side quests and stuff. Sure. I feel like, but, you know, I think the idea that you can go, yes, Zelda games have always been open world in a sense, but probably what they mean is that if they still have the dungeon stuff and whatnot, it'll be a little more open in that sense, and hopefully they'll open it up even more beyond that. But yeah, we don't really fully know what they're doing. If they wanted to make it full Skyrim-esque and have, you know, the full kind of side quest kind of thing and stuff like that too, that would be interesting. But
it'd be interesting, but then it's also, you know, and then it just gets into this weird area about, like at what point would it then not even be a Zelda game if you go so far away from the, like, dungeon setup?
Yeah,
is it now just The Witcher 3 or Skyrim or Dragon Age 3, where it's like every fantasy RPG is becoming open world now?
It's weird.
Like, it's something that's like, I don't know, like, I'm just so skeptical of Zelda games, because I feel like every time I've played a Zelda game that is not Ocarina of Time or Link to the Past, I've just been tremendously disappointed. So
you're also, though, somewhat in the minority on that, because
I'm not
Zelda
necessarily
games,
like, there are a lot of people that
are, there are
in
a lot of
my
people
too.
There are a lot of people, but Zelda is still a high selling franchise.
Yeah, that's
for
true.
Nintendo.
But, you know, like,
they're hugely acclaimed every time they come out.
Yeah,
by most of the gaming press,
but not all of them. Like, I'm saying, like, I'm nowhere near alone in that position.
You are not alone. I'm not saying you're alone, but Zelda is the thing that could, if anything at this point could save the Wii U, it could be Zelda. And this is what I want to talk about here, is that I know it is probably not feasible from a game development standpoint, but they fucking needed a major Zelda game 2014 Wii U announced fully with gameplay demo
here. Next year. Like, they needed, like, that's
it is coming,
like,
out next year. They said 2015 in the trailer.
They needed to show more of it.
Yes, they did.
If it was that far along, like, they needed more of a trailer than
they did. And, you know, it's a thing throughout this conference where I thought they announced a lot of somewhat interesting games. But, like, you know, they talked about Miyamoto is developing a new Star Fox game. And it's Star Fox in the traditional sense of you're flying your ship and everything. It's not Star Fox Zelda, whatever that game was.
Star Fox Adventures.
Dinosaur Island or whatever. But it is, you know, it is using the gamepad and whatnot, and that sounds cool. But again, that's 2015, and it seems like it's barely into development. So Nintendo announced a lot of interesting stuff here, but my question is, is the Wii U going to be around long enough for these games to come out? I mean,
it's going to be around, but it's not going to have a significant enough player base for it to, like, make a big impact, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird in that sense. I mean, even stuff like, you know, Yoshi's Woolly World and stuff like that.
Not going to push consoles.
No, but even if it did, that's 2015. I don't think they've announced a date for Captain Toad Treasure Tracker and things like
Also a game. That's not going to sell consoles.
No, it's not. Bayonetta 2 still doesn't have any kind of release date, you know, that kind of thing.
That
so.
Bayonetta 2 could actually sell consoles in terms of, like, that Bayonetta is a really popular.
Yeah.
Like, the people who like that game really like that game.
So, it's weird. I think Nintendo showed a lot of games I would enjoy playing, but this is how I kind of defined it on Twitter, is that they showed a lot. There was absolutely nothing at Nintendo's show that would make me buy a Wii U or want to buy a Wii U, but there was plenty of stuff that made me feel reasonably happy to have a Wii U because I could play some of these games.
Yeah, and for me, it's like the one thing they showed that's like the thing that can interest me is Zelda, but the way in which they showed it was so clinical.
Yeah.
It's like it didn't like interest me almost at all. Like I would rather have you have shown me like a gameplay demo or something. Like there was like a little bit of like some weird monster shooting a laser at you at the very end, but it was like so brief. It gave me, I had no sense of what the game actually was. Because it's that, you know, it's that old rule, show, don't tell. Like, you just literally just sat down. And it was like the EA press conference. That's exactly what it reminded me of. It's like, I don't want to watch a developer, listen to him talk to me about his game. I want that developer to just show me the fucking game. And I think that would be a much more compelling setup, you know?
Yeah.
But we didn't talk about the big reveal. The big thing coming out of E3 is Mario Party 10.
Yeah.
New Mario Party X.
The only big... It's not spelled with X. That's too
bad. Yeah, I know, but it should be.
Yeah.
It should be.
It's the big change this time is that Bowser is a playable character, and you play as him on the gamepad, and it's asynchronous, so there's five players in the Mario Party now. So as you said, instead of 3-on-1, we can have 4-on-1.
Yeah, because it was like they showed all these mini-games of like Bowser working against the main characters, and it's like, that's what... Half the fucking minigames were already. How did you not remember that's like, that's what, like, the 3v1 games are in Mario Party?
Yeah.
One of the players working against the other ones.
My biggest disappointment looking at Mario Party 10 is that, obviously you have not played Mario Party 9.
The last Mario Party I played was like 4.
Okay,
maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe? Like the first one on GameCube, I guess.
Right. I've played 9 a little bit, and it's what they did, they made this big change with 9 that I kind of, I respect the you know, desire to kind of innovate on the formula, but it was, I don't think it was fully successful, where you and all the other players are in one car together, and the courses are constructed like, you know, tracks and whatnot, and you all, your one role determines how far everybody moves, so it just, it was interesting. Like, it's not bad. I would not call Mario Party 9 bad or that idea bad. It was something that kind of shook up the formula a little bit, but I also thought it made it a little less dynamic and chaotic than Mario Party was known for being, and I wish they would go back to something a little more traditional with 10. I mean, honestly, I've played most of the titles in this series at least a little bit, and I think since 4 was the last like traditional Mario Party where you had your items and stuff, since then they've gotten rid of items and all this other stuff, and it's just gotten so far away from what made it fun, and it's become such a simpler, diluted version of itself. I wish if they announced Mario Party 10 was like they were going back all in on stuff, and it was like more traditional, like those older ones, but bigger and using the power of the Wii U and that kind of stuff. Because it also graphically looked like a Wii game. I mean, and every other trailer we were looking at, like Zelda, that looked impressive.
Yeah, really good looking.
And I thought the Smash Bros. Footage, it looks really good. I know the Wii U can do good stuff. I've played Mario Kart 8. It's got power hidden in there somewhere. Mario Party 10 did not look like it was tapping into it, which is too bad.
Yeah.
So, the thing is with Nintendo here, again, I think this was a better showing than I expected just in terms of they had more new games and giving some other characters games and whatnot. They were trying to use more of their catalog. But they needed something big here.
Yeah, it's like for me, I just look at that and it just looks, to me as someone who's not a big fan of Nintendo, has not been for a very long time, it just looks like a Nintendo announcement.
In terms of
like, you got Smash Brothers games. Like, again, it's not, I mean, you're right that they did kind of expand which characters are getting their games this year, and that you have a Kirby game and you have a Yoshi game, but it's like, you know, those are still characters that have had plenty of games. They are the same Nintendo characters that are getting the same fucking games. You know, it's not, I want Nintendo to have something new. Until they have something actually new, I can't get invested in what they're doing. I can't be interested, because it's like, it has been the same fucking franchises for like 15 years now.
No, you're right. And
it's crazy.
And that's what I'm saying, is that I think that the problem was they were underusing their own catalog since the launch of the Wii U. So this at least seemed like an attempt to try to make more out of what they have, but they need to go beyond that. That's what I was kind of saying. And I think they needed to do one of three things at this conference to make a splash. And they did not make a splash. They needed to do one of three things. The first and most obvious one was big new Zelda game coming out this year or sometime next year, but with a big reveal here.
Yeah.
They didn't do any of that. That needed to happen, or that was one of the things that maybe needed to happen. Second thing is, as you say, some kind of new IP that looks exciting and everyone could get on board with and looks fun and they could show a big demo for and hopefully would be coming out this year, because Wii U does not have time to waste right now.
Yeah.
Or I think the third thing, they needed to just go out all out on their fucking catalog and do something like, next week, we are putting up every fucking game we've ever put out on NES, SNES, N64 and GameCube, and they're in the Virtual Console, and you can play them now, or something like a subscription service like Nintendo Netflix, where they have all their games, and you do $10 a month, and you can play their stuff. They need to leverage something they have. The thing they have right now, and this would not take a lot of work, is they've got their back catalog. Put the back catalog out. Why is it not out on Wii U? There's like 20 games in their Virtual Console on Wii U. And the thing is, I love how they do Virtual Console on Wii U. It's really cool. It's got fucking save states. That's nice. Neat.
Yeah.
Stuff like that is cool. You can play it on your gamepad and things like that. So it's a neat idea. It runs well. But they're not, you know, it's only got NES and SNES. Where's N64? Where's GameCube? They announced that they're putting out that GameCube USB adapter we talked about.
Yeah.
It's going to cost $20. It's coming out. It's coming out in whenever Wii U Smash Bros. Comes out. Why not announce with that we're putting out 50 GameCube games or something? You know, they need something as a stopgap.
Yeah.
And they didn't announce any. Nothing made a splash. They need to do one of those three things. They didn't do any of them.
I don't think you're giving enough credit to Palutena, the goddess from Kid Icarus, because she's going to be a real blast to play on Super Smash Bros. For the 3DS and Wii U.
All right. Well, I don't know if Sony or Microsoft is the winner of this E3, but Nintendo continues to be the loser.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Nintendo's just like, you know, they've put themselves into a very hard position, but it's like, like if the most exciting thing for your press conference is you talking to me about a new Zelda game, it's like, dude, like, I don't know, I can't get myself invested in Zelda again. I can't do it.
And even if you can, I mean, they need people like you, Sean. They need people who have gone out to come back
exactly.
in.
Yeah, exactly. They need to bring me back in, because it's just like, remember when I was a kid, Ocarina of Time, and it still is. It's one of my absolute favorite games. I hate that I can't be invested in the Zelda game, but I can't because I feel like they've never lived up to that original game. They've made, like, most of the Zelda games since then have been good, but it's like they have this thing to their design where every time I play them, I feel like I should just be playing Ocarina of Time because this game doesn't do anything better than it.
Yeah. But, you know, my big disappointment of E3 so far is that none of these companies, none of the first parties, and not even the third parties, which wouldn't even make sense, but no one at their press conference spent any time talking about Persona games.
Exactly.
And like there's so many coming out.
Which is, it's baffling because it's like, no other video game really matters.
Right.
You know, it's like Persona games are the only freaking video games as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted Sony to talk more about PS Vita. You know how they could have done that?
Yeah, it's
big like, onstage demo for Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Yeah, like, get someone, like, you know, leverage that technology for, like, those Hatsune Miku conferences, or, like, concerts, and fucking have a holographic Duise dancing and singing some fucking Nevermore or something.
That would be such a great thing to pull on the gaming press.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of whom have never heard of Persona.
Like, all the people in the, but all the people there who have played Persona 4 would go fucking crazy.
Yes. Yes, they would. You know, Nintendo didn't spend 30 minutes demoing Persona Q. Why not?
Yeah, huge mistake. Like, if they had done that, that would have been the most interesting thing to me personally in their whole fucking conference. Which I know I just spent a whole lot of time saying how they need something new. But it's like, if you're going to get something old, you might as well get something old that's like this thing that is part of like the greatest game ever. So,
all right. So, Sean, let's sign off. Before we do, any other thoughts on E3 so far that you want to give?
Video games are weird.
How weird? How so?
Like, I saw a guy doing push-ups on a stage, and then on a virtual screen, they put an elephant on his back. And then 2 minutes later, I watched a story about a dog in World War I narrate his experiences of losing every human he fell in love with.
Is that E3 in a nutshell for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.